Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and I think this is a very important discussion we're going to have with two of the best historians on the history of UFO, the history of disclosure, and we are at a crossroads in the disclosure movement. The New York Times, May 10th, New York Times article about Hillary Clinton opening the files has changed the way the media looks at this. It's changed the paradigm, and Grant has been following presidents and the UFOs for a long time. He's going to give us a little background, especially the Clintons, and Richard Dolenz has written volumes on UFOs and the national security state, so he's very qualified to give us the background. So let's go into the current shift in the media, because that's really the first part of this interview. We'll start with Richard, and then Grant, you could jump in. Richard, up until May 10, 2016, what I recall is the media would laugh. The papers would laugh if you brought up the subject of UFOs. Something happened. What is your opinion of that shift?
I'm not inclined to overstate the importance of this New York Times piece. I read it, and I think the important thing about it is secondarily that it doesn't criticize the UFO topic. It's true. Everything else the New York Times has ever done, I think, has really come down against the reality of UFOs. But the important thing about it actually is that it was a real puff piece toward Hillary Clinton and UFOs. That's how I read it. The New York Times has taken a very clear position with the presidential election, which is they're absolutely opposed to Donald Trump. They're absolutely opposed to Bernie Sanders. All you have to do is read some of the editorials by nefarious, evil people like Paul Krugman, and you can see where they're coming from. But they want Hillary Clinton because the New York Times, as the establishment, along with the Washington Post and a few others, wants the establishment candidate. That's Hillary Clinton. So I think my take on this is that they realize this UFO issue is not going away. I think they would like nothing more than for this to go away, but it isn't going away. So what I read into this article is that they're actually positioning Hillary and positioning the UFO subject in such a way as to do minimal amount of damage to her politically. It's like this is a damage control piece. That's actually how I think I see it. This is not an attempt at disclosure. If you read the details of that article, and I'm just going off of memory, but they don't really give any reason to think that they have credence in the reality of UFOs in that piece. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no now a much different piece is the interview that Leslie Kane did with the ex-DOD gentleman. His name escapes me at the moment, but
Mellon.
Yeah. No,
Christopher Mellon.
Yeah, thank you, Mellon. But the New York Times piece, I'll just finish my thought here and let Grant jump in. I think that piece is most noteworthy because what they're It is true, Alan, what you were saying before. We're dealing with a kind of shift. It's a cultural shift, let's call it. All right, this is not the 1990s. It's not the 1980s. We've gone through enough of cultural transformation, connectivity, that this topic, it's very difficult to keep it under the surface forever. And it's come out. People like Stephen Bassett, people like Greg Cameron have done the work to get this issue of Hillary particularly out. In with UFOs and the Lawrence Rockefeller connection. All of that's out there now. And it's a huge issue because this woman's now running for president. So I see the New York Times piece as damage control.
Okay, before I get to Grant, I just want to add that for me, that even though it was a kind of pro-Hillary piece, it legitimized something that wasn't sanctioned before. What do you have to say?
Wasn't laughing at UFOs, it's true.
No, right, okay, Grant, I know this is like, there's no one on top of this more than you, Grant.
Yeah, I've worked on the presidents for 30 years, and I know how toxic an issue the UFO thing is. And I always bring up, when I lecture, I bring up the example of Kucinich, who Shirley MacLaine outed that he had been at her place, he'd seen a UFO, he had a voice in his head, and he gets asked in this 2007 Democratic debate about the fact, did you see a UFO? And his campaign just goes right down the tubes.
Right.
And so that's what's changed, is no longer, as I see it, toxic issue. And it's not just the New York Times that did pieces. We have the Chicago Tribune. We have the Washington Post did a couple. They interviewed me a couple of times. One person described it the best. They said it's raining articles. I mean, it's like unbelievable. It's just like everybody was doing a piece, and none of the pieces were really like hit pieces on UFOs. And you're going to show the CNN, which is one of the more dramatic things, where John Podesta, who's Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, who was chief of staff for Bill Clinton, talks, and you can see this, what's his name, Tapper, where you can hear in his voice, it's like, wow, is this for real? Because what you have is this high-level guy who will be Hillary Clinton's chief of staff if she gets in, talking about this very straight, and then he stonewalls the question as to whether this is real. Basically says there's, you know, stuff that can be declassified. So when I see the New York Times, they sort of saw all these other articles and then decided to do a piece on their own. And the thing was, when they played it straight, and then it sort of, it all took off because everybody went, the New York Times did this. And that, I think, is what changed it. And it's no longer a toxic issue. But I have a little presentation where I'll show that Podesta already knew this, because Podesta is behind this whole thing. And Podesta encouraged this question to be asked. So compared to Kucinich in 2007, where his campaign goes down the tubes once he mentions UFOs, Podesta is actually asking reporters to ask Hillary about UFOs. And because this is a multi-billion dollar campaign that he's running, he knows that this has always been a toxic issue. He had to have polled the issue before he asked Dunham to ask Hillary about the UFOs, the aliens. So he realized before this actually started, where Hillary started to answer questions, that the issue had changed, and that it would not backfire on Hillary, because you could just see it. I mean, if it was 2007, and he brought it up, I mean, he would have ruined the whole campaign, you know, billions of dollars in the whole Democratic campaign on some stupid issue. So he must have known when he brought it up, and that's where the New York Times plays it. And I will actually make a reference to, there's one New York Times reporter that he actually quotes, and he copies a tweet on. And so he's got the in on the New York Times, and there is actually another reporter there that is pro-UFO as well.
But that's interesting. Like, within a span of less than a decade, something has shifted, where instead of like ruining a campaign as in Kucinich, like now people are picking up on it. And let's talk about Podesta, because it all seems to come down to Podesta and his, in a way, a personal agenda. I think maybe a little guess about why he's so much pushing this, because how many UFO voters are there out there? I think, and I don't know if this is true, that perhaps when he was younger or he had some kind of sighting, and this kind of subject really excited him. I don't know if that's true. I'm just guessing. What do you think, Richard? Why is Podesta the guy?
Well, I have to confess, I mean, this has been one of the great questions that I have had all year long. Like, why? Everyone knows that John Podesta has been interested in this subject. It's been well known. He's talked about it publicly many times. But now running Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, this woman who has never discussed this topic, all right, would never touch it. And Podesta is pushing it. And, you know, so I do believe part of it. I'm very cynical, all right, when it comes to Podesta and Hillary Clinton. So let me just put that out there. I mean, looking at this politically, looking at this as a geopolitical analyst, looking at the history of the Clintons and the Bushes and their relationship to each other, which is very close, actually, and a lot of the other horrible things and lies and war crimes that Hillary Clinton has committed, in my view, the destruction of the nation of Libya, it goes right at or near the top of that list. I don't consider her to be a woman of honor or integrity. Mm. Having said that, and I also consider she's in the inside establishment as much as any candidate can possibly be. She's been in the establishment. So knowing, in my own view, the UFO, the idea of disclosure is absolutely, utterly radical and revolutionary. There's no easy way to do this. There's no easy way to be like a little bit pregnant. There's no easy way to do a little bit of disclosure. So I've asked myself, well, what is this actually happening? Why would Podesta, can he be so naive as to think that he can push this disclosure issue and not have it backfire in some way or another? And I have been surprised so far, I'm going to fully admit, that there has been no political backlash by other candidates against the whole Hillary UFO thing. Not a peep. Yeah. Not from Bernie Sanders, not from Donald Trump, not from any of the Republicans. Like, really? Wow. Mm-hmm. So what I think has happened is this. I think that that they realize there has been a public shift in cultural attitudes about this topic. And I do think that part of it is that Hillary and Podesta are looking for the UFO vote. I think they have come to realize that that vote is potentially larger than the liabilities that may come after them if people want to attack them on UFOs. I think they may have come to the realization that, in a sense, the emperor is wearing no clothes. That is, the country actually is cool with UFOs on a political basis. Now, what I don't think that they've done is really think through the implications of when this all comes out. But this is why I think when Hillary was on Jimmy Kimmel a couple of months ago, he's asking her about UFOs. And as we all know now, she corrected his terminology and said, no, it's UAP, unexplained aerial phenomena, which has been around since around 1980. Is a much less value-laden term than you. We think of UFO, we think of the little green men, we think of aliens and the grays and abductions and all the goofy pop cliches that have come into the mix. We don't think that with UAP. And what I wonder, and I'm only guessing here, is that because everything on the Kimmel show is highly scripted. Nothing is by chance. This is not just a free and easy conversation, obviously. So this was a decision that they made. And I think this is an attempt to begin the process of rebranding the UFO phenomenon into something that they are maybe hoping they can redirect so that if they start talking about UAP, like if the president were to say, oh, well, UFOs apparently are real, people would be like, oh, my God, you know. But if he or she were to say, we have a phenomenon we are dealing with, UAP, we don't know what they are. I'm wondering if they're hoping that they could then spin it and control the narrative in such a way so that they don't lose control of it.
Okay, I'll get Brian's opinion on Podesta, and then I'll show the Podesta CNN. But I just want to read a comment, and I really am happy. People from all over the world are tuning in here. You know, Australia, Canada, California. I mean, we're talking to the world, just to let you know. And someone wrote here that Trump's comment on the Maureen Dowd interview was that it was not his thing. It's not his thing. That was his comment.
Oh, on UFOs.
Yes, that's what I said. Mm-hmm. So, Grant, why do you – I mean, I think Podesta has some personal agenda. I don't think it's for votes. How many UFO people are really going to vote for Hillary?
There's the comment right above that, I think, has been very possibly very perceptive. He says it's not for votes. She's under pressure and needs to inoculate herself. It has nothing to do with votes. And that's a possibility. I think that's part of this idea that I was talking about, rebranding. It's possible they're trying to steer this in a safer direction.
Yeah. What do you think the Podesta, he's the one in control. It's all pivots around Podesta. What do you think, Grant?
Yeah, Podesta has been described as he's got the first and last word on everything in the Hillary Clinton campaign. He may have had a sighting. I don't know what his interest is, but he is... The key thing to Podesta is I'll just show the article, the speech. He makes the speech at Princeton University. He's what's known as a Madison man, James Madison, and open government. And that's his key thing. He wants open government. He doesn't believe that the vote means anything. If you don't know what your government's doing, your vote is useless. You have to know what's going on in the government in order to vote. So he's into open government. And it's not just UFOs. He came out against Obama when he was in the Obama administration, wrote an op-ed piece for the Washington Post talking about four Americans being killed by drones in the Middle East, and that you have to release this material on the drones as to what we're doing. We can't be killing Americans in the Middle East. So he's taken open issues on a lot of stuff. And he has been pushing this since the Clinton administration. He was one of the key guys, I believe, that was behind two executive orders that Bill Clinton did, 1994, where he, with a stroke of a pen, he declassified, I think it was like 10% of all the stuff in the National Archives, all the World War II records. And Podesta, I'm sure, was behind that. And as well as the 1995 executive order that Bill Clinton did, where he said anything over 25 years, unless it's got a good reason, has to be declassified. Over 1 billion pages was declassified by that executive order. So Podesta has always been an open government guy pushing, and he pushed Bill Clinton for UFOs. He couldn't get anything done there. Bill, for whatever reason, didn't go with it. And according to Tom DeLonge, who's now running around talking about high-level officials, including Podesta, who are talking to him, he says that Podesta told him that he had talked to Obama, and that comes to this famous tweet. So he has tried to get Obama to release, and I believe that this whole thing is Podesta. It's got nothing to do with Hillary. Hillary never brought the subject up. Hillary has answered four questions. It was John Podesta who told Leah Dunham to ask her about the aliens. He kept pushing this thing, ask her about the aliens. She, if this questions hadn't been asked, I say Hillary would never have brought the subject up. It was only because she was asked, and that was Podesta. So Podesta is the key. He's the, as I say, he's the puppet master, and she's just the puppet. Forget about what she says, and it's his idea of open government. And I think he takes sort of a Steve Bassett view that it really doesn't matter what happens. You need open government. You can't sort of second guess open government by saying, well, we can't have open government because something might happen. It really doesn't matter to him what happens. Open government is the bottom line for John Podesta. And if you read his speeches at his alma mater or the one he did at Princeton, he goes through secrecy and he talks about weighing national security versus unthinking secrecy. He's a big open government guy. He's a Madison guy.
Well, that's really interesting, Grant. I just want to ask you, is he actually a puppet master of Hillary? I mean, she's
Yeah,
right. I mean, she could just say no UFOs. I don't want to deal with this. I mean, she's clearly allowing him to direct that. I mean, she must have some kind of complicity or at least acknowledge, agreement, right?
Well, what she has said is that in her first comment is, "I promised John I would do this," and so I call it the Podesta box. I say that Podesta has wanted disclosure for so long, and that he has built this box, and she's going to pay the price because he couldn't get Bill to do it. He couldn't get Obama to do it. And he gets her to promise because she owes him for getting Bill out of the Monica Lewinsky mess and all the stuff he's done for the Clintons over the years. He's been a loyal Clinton person. And so she said, "I promised John." And you see the way she is answering the questions. When people ask her, she just said, I don't think people are making up stuff. And I want open government. Well, that's a John Podesta line. We just want to prove that we're open government. So she's not saying I believe in it. She even said, "I really don't know." She does make the famous statement, though. She makes the famous statement. She's the first high-level politician to make the statement, "They may already be here," which fell over when she said that. Because nobody said that. Like, Bill will talk about, oh, there's ETs in outer space and on far planets, whatever. But it's a different thing to talk about they're here. Everybody can say, "Yeah, I believe there's life in outer space," but she's the first to actually say they may actually be here.
Well, don't you think she's leaking something? I mean, she knows something when she's not coming out and saying they are here, but I think she knows that, hey, they might. There's evidence that, I mean, she's almost says it, but not quite. But
yeah, she has to watch the classified aspect of the thing where she can't say something that she knows. She's already in enough trouble with her email stuff about leaking, sensitive compartmentalized information, which, is a class one felony. She'd go to jail for life. So she knows the class. She's had a clearance. She knows how the game is played. So she's walking around the issues of what she really knows. Because, we go through the Rockefeller Initiative stuff. She played the key role between Rockefeller and the science advisor that was all going through her, and she was going to the president. Like, Rockefeller never got to the president. It was Hillary running this interference, and everything was going through the first lady's office. She was the key person in the Rockefeller Initiative.
I mean, it seems like she knows. She's not ready to say. Obama knows. If you look at his facial expressions and the whole, what's that guy, Ben, who does the facial analysis.
Ben Hansen?
Ben Hansen, looking at the analysis of Obama's breathing when he mentions it on Jimmy Kimmel, his breathing increases. Let's go to that Podesta clip. I just want to make one comment that someone says here. I think something like, it's silly if we're going to make a disclosure about UAPs and not UFOs.
Yeah, I mean, says it's silly to disclose UFOs and not UAPs.
Yeah, what do you think that means exactly? I mean,
well, the UAP, I think the UAP comes from Leslie Kane. Didn't Leslie Kane use it in her book?
But it was also in the English report, the condom. Yeah.
And so John Podesta writes the forward.
To Hillary.
What's that, Richard?
Where Hillary got that phrase UAP, I have to assume she got it from Podesta. Podesta is very close with Leslie Kane.
Yeah, exactly. That's where it came from.
Off of the tradition. Well, the phrase was created by Richard Haynes, the NARCAP group, back, I think, in 1980. But, right, no, Leslie is of this school of thought, basically the John Alexander School and the Christopher Mellon School now, which is that there is a phenomenon, but we don't really know what it is, yeah. And we don't know that there's a cover-up, which I think is kind of lame, actually, not really credible.
Yeah, and if we change the name of and change it from UFO to everything else, all the scientists will say, oh, it's not UFO, it's all studied.
Exactly, I start to think this is why they're rebranding it, because I think that they're seeing this disclosure is not necessarily going to go away, that this is a topic that is continually bubbling and seething under the surface. And I think they're trying to find a way to kind of steer it in a different direction. I don't think that they'll succeed. I don't think you can.
I do have to say, though, rebranding UFOs to UAPs, we have a box for UFOs, weird, alien. We call it UAPs. People don't have the same box to put that into. You know, there's a little shift again in consciousness with a UAP. It's the same thing.
But yeah. But there's still people who have had what they believe are abduction experiences. There's still people who believe who have had close encounters with whatever you want to call them. There's still the rumors of underground bases. There's still the, you know, leaks about collaboration and reverse engineering. All of that's there. So if you acknowledge that this UAP phenomenon is real, how much time do they think they'll actually give themselves, by delaying the inevitable questions? I mean, if they acknowledge that this is real.
The questions are just beginning, like at those press conferences. Are you going to tell us the real thing to the press secretary? Maybe we'll show that. But why don't I, now that we've talked about, let me see if I can pull the Podesta thing up, because that sets the groundwork. And then, Grant, you can go into the whole Clinton research you've done, okay, after this? Okay. So let me see if I can find the Podesta. Okay, do I go to share screen? Okay, here, let me see if I can pull this up.
Some interesting questions in the comments in the chat room, by the way. I'm just reading.
Yeah, do you see anything you'd like to say before we go to this?
I can't see it now because I'm looking at your screen.
Oh, okay, let's go to that after. This is, are you seeing the thing pretty well? Okay, let's go to the Podesta comment.
When it comes to Area 51 and
whether- Okay, hey, Grant, do you want to just set this up a little bit and tell us what the background to this clip is?
Well, he's just doing an interview with Podesta about Hillary talking about this kind of stuff. I would just say people listen very carefully at the end when it sounds like Jake Tapper actually gets the idea that this thing's for real. And he starts asking him questions like, well, what do you believe? Are you telling us this is for real? And then watch Podesta, who is the most powerful Democrat in the country, stonewall the question.
Right.
And
okay.
It just amazed me when I saw it.
And the reporter, who is the reporter? What's a little buzz?
Jake Tapper.
And what's his background? Is he interested in this stuff or no?
I'm not sure. Obama went after him in this this joke thing, where he tells the jokes of this thing. So he's a fairly major guy at CNN.
Okay.
And, I'm not sure if he's interested or whatever, but I think he's just doing the interview. And then he suddenly gets the idea in the interview that this thing may be for real. And that's this sort of the switch, almost like with the New York Times, where suddenly, as I say, the media, the top level media, has suddenly got the idea maybe we've been had, and they're now starting to, the attitudes change, and they're starting to ask serious questions instead of just going along with the joke.
Okay, great. Okay, here we go.
The U.S. government knows of aliens. Should Secretary Clinton be elected president?
Well, what I've talked to the secretary about and what she said now in public is that if she's elected president and she gets into office, she'll ask for as many records as the United States federal government has to be declassified. And I think that's a commitment that she intends to keep and that I intend to hold her to.
Have you seen any of these documents? You were White House Chief of Staff years ago.
President Clinton asked for some information about some of these things, and in particular, some information about what was going on at Area 51. But I think that the U.S. government could do a much better job in answering the legitimate questions that people have about what's going on with unidentified aerial phenomena. And they should, the American people can handle the truth. So they should just do a thorough search.
What is the truth?
And open it up.
Is there evidence of alien life?
You know, that's for the public to judge once they've seen all the evidence that the U.S. government
has. What do you think personally?
What do I think? I think there's a lot of planets out there.
Yes, and that, okay, that a lot of places. So He's basically saying yes. I mean, when he says there's a lot of planets, you think there's alien life, I think he's actually saying, well, he's not coming out and saying, but he's what you're saying, like stonewalling, but he's also acknowledging something on a, you know, indirectly.
Yeah, and that's what happens with Obama. If you watch Obama as well, Obama doesn't really lie about it. He tried to walk around it, but he's basically giving clues that this thing's for real as well. Whereas Bill Clinton, whenever he's asked about it, if you say the Ben Hansen review, where he says, well, I really didn't know what was going on, I tried to get it, and then they do the analysis, I mean, it looks like he's lying.
He's absolutely lying. When he talked about, when I think it was on Kimmel, where he said, you know, we looked into this and we got all the information on Roswell. That's a bald-faced lie because the Congressional Government Accounting Office, which was Congress's investigative body in Roswell, looking into the Roswell case, stated that they were shut down by the Air Force. The records were gone. They were missing. They should not have been missing. So Bill Clinton knew that, and he just decided to say what he decided to say.
But it's interesting. They're going on Kimmel, and they're being told to ask. Kimmel's being told to ask that question, and then they're listening to what someone says in the chat, and then they're denying it publicly. They're, two different things are going on. It's sort of
denying what publicly?
A dissonance thing. Like, ask me about it, and I'm not going to talk about it. They're planting seeds. And
it's like the idea, almost like a limited hangout. Maybe Grant can comment too. This idea, you know, you're just taking this little bit of information, you're tossing it out there, but then you run away from it a little bit so that you don't claim ownership of it, but you're moving things along in the direction you want them to go.
So the constant denial will eventually lead to an affirmation. Is that it?
Well, I don't really know that they're trying to do a disclosure. I just am not of the opinion that the Hillary Clinton presidency would be a disclosure presidency.
I think it's as close as we've gotten so far, really.
I don't know about that. I'm not really sure that that's the closest we've gotten.
Well,
you might argue that the Jimmy Carter presidency might have gotten closer until they stopped dead in their tracks in 1977. But in the Hillary Clinton case, I'm not seeing a real motivation for them to move forward on this other than as a form of damage control.
Well, let's get Grant to do it. Grant, are you ready to do?
Yeah.
You think this is a good time for this?
Well, some of it you've done, but I'll just go through maybe some slides and just sort of give you a little bit of background. Say maybe some of the clips people haven't seen from this. So let's.
Okay, so we're going to screen share with Grant here, and let me see. I got some questions as well.
I'm seeing people that I know in the chat room.
Grant, hang on 1 second. I'm going to make you the co-host here so you can share your screen.
Okay.
There are some questions.
I'm saying hi to Charlotte. I saw her name there. I want to say hi to Peggy.
See her name there. It's good to say hello. I mean, because this is interactive. I mean, I want people to be definitely part of it. I know we've been kind of taking over the conversation, but I'll try to get to the questions also because these are very intelligent questions. So, okay, Grant, what do you got? Why the setup denial shows on Bill Clinton? What? Why did they do that? Okay,
So as I said, like, it's raining articles. I mean, when I saw this in my local paper, I live in a big city, but I live sort of at the end of the world. It's the coldest major city in the world. Nobody ever comes here. Nobody wants to come here. And when I saw this in the, it was done out of Toronto, the guy that interviewed me, I didn't think they were ever going to do anything with the piece. And he actually runs with the piece, and it's kind of a straight piece that basically goes through Hillary's story. So the Hillary story has been all over the world. From the Conway paper said, I mean, they were when his editor saw the reaction they got from around the world to this story, he said, I want you to get more of this stuff. And that's when he asked Kasich and Cruz and Sanders, and he was asking all of them. He didn't ask Trump because Trump didn't come to the office. But this story has just gone around the world, and it's completely different from what it had been even a couple of years ago, 2 years ago. As I said, I believe that this whole thing that is John Podesta, that Hillary Clinton would never have talked about this. It's not something that really interests her. She's interested in being the president. This is something that it was polled that he believed it was an issue that he wanted out there. And she's sort of the person who's putting it out for him. As I say, when you look at John Podesta to understand him, you got to go and look at his remarks, especially at Princeton University, to understand his mentality. And he really doesn't really care. He believes open government. He doesn't second guess trying to cover stuff up because people might be offended. As he said in the 2002 sci-fi news conference, people should tell the truth. It's the law. And that's basically the bottom line. If you can have a lot of baggage on Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, you're not going to find anything on John Podesta. He's a straight shooting guy who doesn't want to be in government. He's got these very high level ideas of how government should work. And he's got a lot of power. His brother runs the big public relations firm that he helped start in Washington. Very, very powerful, very, very influential guy is basically, I think, the most powerful Democrat there is in the country. This is the tweet that got me going. This is after you got to remember, he put this tweet out on the day he left the Obama administration. And according to Tom DeLonge said that Podesta told him that he had talked to UFOs about Obama and tried to get it disclosed. And so he's sort of covering himself as he leaves the Obama administration. And he says, finally, my biggest failure of 2014, once again, was not securing the disclosure of the UFO files. When I saw this, I knew something was up. Because if you're John Podesta, you don't just put out a tweet like this, a high-level guy, because I still consider it to be a toxic issue. So I knew something was on. And it wasn't until Steve Bassett pointed out that he had copied this thing to the New York Times, to Marie Dowd at the New York Times. And I could never figure out why would he copy Marie Dowd? And when I found out, then I realized that this is a carefully orchestrated thing by Podesta. This was just not something he just flipped off. He's got this sort of planned. He's behind the scenes. And the thing with Marie Dowd, in 1997, Bill Clinton got the Roswell report done. Roswell looked into, they did it. It came back and it said, it didn't talk about the bodies. And so Clinton goes to Belfast and he openly confronts the Air Force. And he says, if they recovered bodies, they didn't tell me about it. And I want to know. So in 1997, they do a second, Air Force does a second Roswell report. And it was in that one, they said, in 1953, we dropped these 6-foot-tall wooden dummies with Air Force uniforms and parachutes. And people confused them with 1947, 4-foot-tall gray aliens. Now, when that story broke, Marie Dowd at the New York Times writes this article called We're Not Alone. And the article basically says, this proves that this is for real. This is the stupidest thing I have ever heard. And this basically shows that there's some truth to this. They wouldn't put out this stupid story. And so that's why John Podesta copies Marie Dowd, because she's sort of a supporter, which I didn't know until this.
Yeah. So then I'm wondering, can I just ask you one thing? Do you think Podesta purposely sent that tweet about not opening the files as planting a seed? Like, he never intended it to open the files on UFOs when he was working with Obama, but he sent that out as a kind of way of preparing the ground. You know, it's in a kind of a manipulation of thought. Or did he really mean that?
No, I think he actually meant that he had tried, and because the Washington Post had done an article when he came into the Obama administration, they wrote a piece about him and said, now everything, because I was doing the FOIA stuff, and they said, now everything that Podesta writes to Obama on UFOs and X-Files is going to be FOIA. So I think he's sort of just covering himself, saying, I'm putting myself on the record here. I talked to Obama. I couldn't get it done. And this is just putting it on the record that I talked to Obama about it and couldn't get it released. So he knows I'm going to file FOIAs. He knows a lot of people are going to be looking at his records when he leaves. And the obvious question is going to be, did he ever talk to Barack Obama about UFOs? Let's see all the correspondence and this sort of stuff. So he's just sort of covering himself.
Who's Lena Dunham?
Leah Dunham. Well, this is what happens in October. So I realize something's going on. I have this long conversation with Steve Bassett that Podesta is up to something. Something's going on. So in September of last year, that's when Leah Dunham does this interview, a video interview with Hillary's talking about she's going to run for president. So she does this interview with Hillary, but they don't talk about UFOs. So Podesta makes this tweet. He says, next time, ask her about the aliens. And he puts double exclamation marks after this thing. So he basically is saying, and this is where I say it had to be pulled. He would not put a $1 billion campaign on the line with an issue that is toxic that would sink Hillary Clinton in a couple of seconds about talking about aliens. So he must have had this thing pulled. When I saw this, then I really believed that John was really up to something. So he's encouraging reporters to ask Hillary about the aliens, which would seem like totally at odds with what we've always known about UFOs being something. If you're a politician, you just don't want to touch this.
But Richard, you have a comment, Richard?
Just wondering, like, I want to hear Grant's opinion as to why Podesta thinks it's different now, because clearly he does. I mean, is it simply a personal crusade? And he just trashes, he just forgets his own political judgment. He can't possibly forget that. So he has to have reason to think that she's kind of got a Teflon coating here.
Well, no, because he's the campaign chairman, they pull everything. So, you know, you put your finger up and you find out which way the wind is blowing, what are the people interested in, and then you show that you're the messiah. And, we're going to give you
So in other words, you're suggesting that he has decided that the public is supportive enough of this it's worth going into.
And he must have had a group. Like, they put these groups in a room and they throw these ideas at him and they see how they react to these different ideas. And then they decide, we're going to bring this up on the campaign or we're not going to bring it up on the campaign.
Well, so I don't want to jump the gun here on you, but I want to ask what you think. So is this simply a vote-getting mechanism? Is it something just that's political capital for her? Or do they have any intention of actually following through on this promise? Campaign promises are meant to be broken. They're broken all the time. So,
but the situation now, there's no way that Hillary could ever walk out of this. She has to do something. That's why I say it's the Podesta box. She's in a box because the New York Times, Washington Post, all these people who have done articles are not going to go away. They're going to be asking as soon as she comes in, what about this promise about the UFOs? So she's in a box. And if she says, for example, she comes out and says, okay, I can't release it because of national security, it's over. I mean,
she's in a tighter box than the Podesta box. She's in the UFO box. And if she starts talking about this, this is an out of control situation. My opinion, like this is a no win for them. This is why I don't understand why they're going down this road.
But he's pulled.
That Podesta is an X-Files fan, and I think there is some kind of
he's using his
personal agenda.
And he's allowing his own personal passion to impede his political judgment.
But is it impeding it? Okay, go ahead, Grant. Sorry.
But if he hadn't pulled it, he had to have pulled the issue. He had to know that this was not a toxic issue. This is his thing. And when he pulled it, he realized this was a positive issue. You can bring it up, and it's not going to kill Hillary. It's not going to kill Hillary's campaign, and that has proved to be true. Neither you have not had the backlash, which I thought would happen.
It's not killing the campaign. It's just going to be very difficult from a national security point of view if she starts to move on this.
Well, maybe
you've got a whole black budget community that has gone around, around any kind of legal. I mean, if the UFO phenomenon is, I think, partly responsible for the creation of our black budget culture. If she starts to investigate this and she comes out with some kind of confirmation about this reality, whether she calls it UAP or UFO, does anyone think that there's not going to be follow-up questions like, holy crap, how long have you been hiding this from us?
Exactly.
What is this secrecy? The whole thing just gets opened up. I mean, and that's going to be a messy, dirty, filthy, illegal mess.
Okay, but then we go back to the argument that we're going to have a closed government because the people might be offended by the answer. John Podesta, I don't think really cares. He says open government. He's a Madison guy. He's an open government guy.
It is going to be messy. You even write about that in your book, AD. It's going to be messy for a little while.
But I've never supported the idea that there would be a voluntary disclosure.
Didn't believe it, but I believe it now. I don't think they're even going to get to Hillary. There's no way you can keep this story going for 6 months. But Obama is now on the spot. And that may be what Podesta was setting up, was to put Obama, because if you, we'll play the news clip of the press secretary. He says, ask Obama. It'll be interesting. So he's now saying to the reporters, ask Obama about this.
Bassett's position, I was talking with him about this. He believes Obama is still going to be the disclosure president.
I never would have believed it, but I believe it now. He's in a real difficult position. He's going to be facing not just reporters' questions, but reporters, if you look at these reporters in the last couple of days, who are saying, you're not going to get away with this. They're asking serious questions. They now have realized they've been had, and they're asking hard, serious questions. And you may have the New York Times and the Washington Post now getting 5 or 6 reporters and actually doing background investigations on this whole thing when they suddenly realize they've been had.
Will Obama do it before the election or after the election? I think that's an interesting strategy either way.
But it's unraveling. He has no choice. He has to start answering the questions. It's almost like he has no choice. It's going to unravel itself. That they're going to have a couple hundred reporters standing on the White House lawn waiting for interviews because they suddenly realize this is a real story.
Have any of these reporters been asking Obama about UFOs? I'm not aware that that's happened yet.
Well, they asked the press secretary, and the press secretary said I'll probably play a clip in a second. Yeah. There's some questions that even the press secretary doesn't have the need to know. He says Barack Obama has indicated he has information on this material. Ask him. And so he's basically saying, ask the president. So the president hasn't had a news conference. That's going to be interesting. The very next news conference that the president has in the White House, this question's coming. I can almost guarantee it.
Well, especially with headlines like this, I mean, Obama may hand it off to Clinton. Clinton promises to investigate UFOs. She's out about this. Obama's still kind of keeping quiet, telling that little girl on the Ellen show, no, we don't know for sure. So he may be setting Hillary up to be the disclosure president. I mean,
But can he do that for 6 months or till the election? I don't think he can. I think
give it to Hillary when he can't do it himself? I mean, if he really has the opportunity to do it. The problem is, look, Obama and Hillary are both themselves puppets. They are not independent actors, never have been. Obama is a sales rep for Brand America. That's my take on it. So I don't really think he's going to act independently. He will disclose if the people above him and the people within the national security community who've got the clearance above him allow him to do it. I don't really think he's going to do it otherwise. I don't think this is a presidential decision. I just don't. There may be tools in the process, but I just don't see that Obama's really going to have the ability.
I don't think he has any choice. I think he's going to be under so many questions. This thing has changed in the last couple of days. It is no longer we're going to sit there and wait for someone to make a disclosure. They're waiting for the president. The woman said, you are not going to get away with this. I mean, they basically said, yes. They're on the warpath. They're asking questions now.
But why? I mean, so you want to finish the Hillary Clinton slideshow here? And this interview was really good, and we'll show... I think I can find the clip of this, but tell us what you're going to say about this Breakfast Club.
Okay, I've got the audio here, but this is I just got a call of this guy, Charlemagne. He's in New York City, the Breakfast Club, a big morning talk show. And this guy's been, he says he's had a flying saucer sighting. He's been abducted twice. This girl on the right-hand side, she jumps in and says, oh, he's got marks on his body. And Hillary's taking this like, doesn't even flinch when he's talking about this.
I have to say, in the video, Hillary actually looks concerned when he says he may have been abducted. She goes, she's startled for a second. And like, she's believing this. And I'm sure it's not the first time she's heard this. She doesn't seem shocked at all, but she seems concerned. She really does. Like, oh my God, here's someone who really has been taken by aliens.
But she goes along with the whole thing, and she basically talks about the open government. I wonder if the video will hang on.
Let's see if we can get the video because I think the video will okay, the audio, but you'll see like she, go ahead.
He actually got
South Carolina.
And he has some marks on his shins from them.
I think I've been abducted, but are you going to tell the truth about it?
No.
She promised.
I did. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, these are two separate issues. You definitely are coming.
The White House.
I have said I want to open the files as much as we can. I mean, if there's some huge national security thing and I can't get agreement to open them, I won't. But I do want to open them because I'm interested.
You believe?
I don't know. I want to see what the information shows, right? But there are enough stories out there that I don't think everybody is just sitting, in their kitchen making them up. I think that people see things. What they see, I don't know.
Yeah.
But we've got to try to, give people information. I believe in that.
What about ghosts? You believe in ghosts?
All right.
I believe in spirits.
Next to Santa.
I'm just wondering.
Forget that. That's ridiculous. But this guy's interesting.
This is a clip now of the May the 11th, the day after the New York Times. This is the question, and this is the Associated Press. This is not just some little guy. This is Associated Press asking this question about the New York Times article, and it's a serious question.
You saw that New York Times story yesterday about Mrs. Clinton promising to get to the bottom of the UFO and Area 51 conspiracies. And I wondered if the president would like to beat her to the punch by, showing his degree of transparency on this issue, which is of concern to a lot of Americans.
I have to admit that I don't have a tab in my briefing book for Area 51 today.
Or a joke.
Maybe it has. Part of a grand conspiracy. I'm not aware of any plans the president has to make public any information about this. But
he's gotten to the bottom of it.
Well, I know that he has joked publicly before about one of the benefits of the presidency is having access to that information. I don't know whether or not he has availed himself of that opportunity. If we have more on this, we'll let you know.
That might undercover darkness.
Potentially.
I think that guy's really in the dark. I think the press secretary really doesn't know. I don't think he's covering for Obama. I think Obama knows. That's my impression of that guy. He doesn't know much. What do you think, Richard?
Well, the U.S.'s government has some of the worst people representing themselves in the press in its history. The State Department probably takes the cake for the most incompetent idiots who don't really know what they're talking about and who lie shamelessly to the press. This man... it seems to me he just blew off the question and did everything possible not to answer it.
Well, what about the Associated Press reporter? That guy is taking it seriously, like a lot of these.
It was interesting. Yeah, I think, Grant is right. I think you're right. I think what we're seeing is a very slow kind of, because this topic has always been there. Before the internet, before the web, I think that the establishment was able very successfully to keep it sort of tamped down. And it's more and more difficult to do that. There has been too much excellent research by people like Grant and by other people to get some of this information available, and it's now getting a little bit of forward momentum. So the establishment has to deal with it, and we're seeing belatedly. Whereas the Associated Press 20 years ago, this information was still all there. But they're starting now very late in the game to get on the ball and ask some of these questions, and I do think we're going to see more of this.
So go ahead, finish the presentation. Okay. I want to also know your how's this going to play out in the public also, but what were you going to say?
Okay, what's significant about this is the fact that we've had three questions in the last week and a half. The question before that was 1997 with Webster Hubble. And Deborah Orn, who told the story of asking the question, that same thing, walked around it, made a joke. She asked a follow-up question. The Clinton's press secretary walked around it with a denial, not going to talk about what private people write in their private books. And she was interviewed later. She said, "I sat there and waited for the rest of the White House press corps to give me some support and ask another question. And they all rolled over and played dead." The time before that was January of 1954 that a question was asked in the White House to the White House press secretary about the serious thing about does the president know what's going on here. This is where it's changed. I mean, this is like every 20 years you get a question, and now suddenly you have three in a week, and they basically are waiting now for Obama. And the woman says to this guy, "You're not going to get away with this." This is where the attitude has changed, and you have this thing where. He says, I know that Obama has joked publicly before about the advantages of the presidency of having that kind of information. So he basically has confirmed that Barack Obama knows what's going on at Area 51. And that's when he, in the next question thing on the 16th, you'll see he says, "I can't answer the question. I don't have the clearance. ask Obama. It should be interesting, which just blew me away that the press secretary is actually turning it on the president to say, now you ask the president. So the president is going to face this question.
You mean the guy that's supposed to answer the questions for the president is saying, I can't answer that question.
He says, I don't have the clearance.
It's kind of funny.
And so this is a question on the 16th. It's kind of interesting because Obama does this interview with GQ magazine, and he's asked about the same question that he gets asked all the time about, you know, is there a book of secrets, you know, the JFK assassination and the UFO stuff. And Obama answers the question, I've got to tell you, it's a little disappointing. People always ask me about Roswell and aliens and UFOs, and it turns out the stuff going on at that top secret level isn't as exciting as you'd expect. So here's Obama actually making a confirmation that this thing's for real, that there is this top secret. He doesn't say, well, there's no UFOs or whatever. He says it's just not as interesting as you think it is. So this reporter on the 16th actually brings up this quote from Obama, and she says, are you gonna make this public? And then again, he sort of walks around it and he says, you have the opportunity to ask Obama that question. It should be interesting. So he turns it back to Obama. And then, of course, the question comes again. And then they go to the Roswell thing. And she actually goes after him because he starts to drink from his cup. And she says, look, you're doing the dance at the podium. Look, you're drinking. And so he's under attack. This is not a joke anymore. And then she said, are you keeping quiet because of national security? I think that there's more beyond this. Seriously, you need to answer this. So this is where the attitude has changed. They're not joking around anymore. And then he says, the press secretary says, there are some questions that even the White House press secretary doesn't have the answers to, and this is one of them. And then she says, you're not going to get off easy like that. And he says, okay, just keep trying. So you have this adversarial situation where I say the most important thing is the major media suddenly realizes they've been had, that there may be a story here. And I can't see any major paper not deciding to put a couple of reporters to see if they can actually get the story.
Right, because that the paper that gets the real story, it's going to be huge for whoever comes out with that.
Yeah,
and this is one thing that sort of changed me. This is this whole idea about how Podesta sets it up. I'll do that in a second. But this idea that this is Aftergood from Federation of American Scientists, who says the president is the one who establishes the security clearance system by executive order. And that was something that I always made the mistake that everybody did, is that all the security stuff is done by law, and that the president has a security clearance and that he doesn't have the necessary security clearances. And it's not the fact. It's not done by law.
I have an issue with this. So I'm not really sure that I think that's a truthful statement by Aftergood. I don't think that that's actually, because there have been several studies over the years of special access programs. One that I recall distinctly, a very astute one written by Bill Sweep, an aerospace journalist who did in 2000, this is a while back, a very detailed study of special access programs, black budget, and pointing out that in his analysis, these programs, which are squirreled away, you know, and some of them are unacknowledged special access programs,
yeah.
That the security protocols are established by the program manager, who often is not even a military DOD person, but rather a private contractor who may be running. In other words, they create their own classification system unique to those particular special access programs. And when I read I didn't read the book, but I read the three-part article by Dana Priest and Bill Arkin called Top Secret America a few years ago, that they gave the same basic breakdown, the same idea, which is that this is a system dominated by private contractors removed from formal government authority, at least in certain cases. So I don't really, I mean, Aftergood may be talking technically, legally true here, but I think in practice, I'm not really convinced that that's a true statement.
Okay, I would disagree. I would say that the president, if you look back at the how security clearances are done, it was started by Eisenhower or by Roosevelt in 1940, and that all security, all clearances are done by executive order. The president is running the show. And I say that is what they're trying to cover up, the fact that the president is running. Now, you may say, I can say, the CIA guy doesn't know, the Secretary of Defense doesn't know, the vice president, Truman, didn't know about the bomb. But when you say that the president doesn't know, then you have a situation where everybody goes along with a situation that's totally unconstitutional and illegal. And if you take a look at mm-hmm. Trump now, the reason that the main Republican guys aren't backing him is because they say that what he is proposing to do is illegal and unconstitutional. And I bring up an example of Bush when in 2004, when Bush did this thing with the turning the satellites to find terrorists inside the United States, the attorney general tendered his resignation. He refused to sign the it to be legal. The assistant attorney general refused to sign it. The FBI director resigned. 12 people in the Justice Department resigned and said, we don't care if he's the president. It's illegal. We're not going to do it. And I say that the reason that this thing is been maintained by 13 presidents, and they've all done the same thing, is that everybody at the top believes it's legal and constitutional. I say if everybody got the idea that the president wasn't really running the show and that he was just sort of a puppet, people would walk. People are constitutionally
Grant. I mean, these presidents are selected. They're not really truly elected. They're selected, and they are brought in. Bill Clinton was the protege of Pamela Harriman. You know, back in the day, he was brought into a Bilderberg meeting in 1991. He was a made man, like in Goodfellas, like in the mafia. They bring you in when they know you're on board with the program, and then you are allowed to become president. This is how it is with all of them. I don't really think.
I think we have two different political opinions. You know, one that the politicians are manipulated and they're controlled by Rich and Grant is, you know, saying, well,
they are brought into it, that they know.
I think if we get back to the UFO, I think as this thing plays out, I think we are going to see which is the real truth here. You know, I think this is going to come out in the wash. That's what I think. I mean, so, okay.
So Podesta is basically, this is what Podesta says to the Las Vegas. He says, we need an effort to go and look at it, declassify as much of it as we can so that people can have their legitimate. He's not talking. He says, well, Hillary's got to go and talk to the evil cabal and get permission to do this. He just says she has to sit down and she has to take a look at the material. He said it a number of times in his interviews. She has to look at the material and she has to evaluate what is national security. And Hillary even talks about it, if I can get agreement. So she's not talking about, going to the cabal and getting permission to do this. They're basically saying the president has, as with Bill Clinton declassifying in 1995 or all the stuff in 1994, at the stroke of a pen, because he runs the classification, the security, he can, at the stroke of a pen, declassify whatever he wants. He can ask for whatever he wants. I maintain the president does not have a security clearance. He doesn't need a security clearance. He can see whatever he wants. And you and I are fighting this thing. We're not going along with it. And I say that people at high levels in government, if they knew that it was unconstitutional, that they were all just puppets, somebody would walk. Nobody has walked. They're all just playing the game because they believe this is being done legally.
Yeah, but Bill Clinton does acknowledge, I think it's on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, or maybe it's that Hong Kong interview, he said, maybe there's some career people who just kept secrets.
That's the cover story. That's the cover story. He's lying. When you do the analysis of Bill Clinton, he's lying. When you look at Obama, and what is Obama? When they asked Obama, they said, Clinton said it wasn't real. What do you say? And that is when he knew. And they asked him before. They said, you know, they're going to watch all your reactions, all your how many your gestures and stuff. And Obama knows that Ben Hansen is going to do the analysis when he's asked that question. Bill Clinton denies that he could get the information. What about it? What did you do? He's breathing at 42 times a minute. Right. He's hyperventilating when that question is asked. And he says, I can't reveal anything. The same as in 2012, he's in at Roswell and he says, we'll keep our secrets here. He makes the Roswell joke. And then he says, we'll keep our secrets. If Obama knows, they all know. And so you see these indications that it's a cover story. Because you can say, okay, it's the Wizard of Oz, it's a cabal, it's David Rockefeller and a couple of his buddies running the thing. You can't interview those people. But if it becomes known, and that's what's changed in the media, when the media realizes the president has been briefed on this subject and he knows what's going on, everybody knows where the president is. You can't interview the Wizard of Oz. And that's why when you take a look at, for example, in the Clinton administration, Clinton says he didn't know what was going on. But when Rockefeller does the briefing at the ranch, Marie Galbraith says 100% for sure Bill Clinton did not go to the briefing. Only Hillary was there. So why would he not go downstairs to the briefing and listen to Lawrence Rockefeller? Because CIA guy, help me, the weird guy.
Who?
Yeah, Kit Green.
No, they're after Kit Green.
Oh, Ron Pandolfi.
Okay, Ron Pandolfi. There's a story that's told, Dan Smith told it. I got him asked the question on Coast to Coast, and this is on his website, that he wanted Bush to get a briefing. He wanted Podesta to do a briefing of George Bush. And Podesta told Dan Smith, he said, forget about it. The presidents can't be players. We tell them what they need to know and hope we don't have to put them down. And the question was, well, did he get, for this threat to the president, did he get arrested? Did he get reprimanded? No, because it's the cover story. Everybody has the cover story. We whacked Kennedy and make this cabal thing that there's this secret government that nobody can really interview. And the key thing to me is when you pull back the curtain, the president is running the cover up. And now the media has suddenly realized that Obama has been briefed. He's got some sort of clearance. And now they're going to ask him, what's the truth? That's what's changed here. Is before everybody thought it was a big joke. There's nothing in the government. There's nothing to it. And now suddenly they've realized maybe this is true. If guys like Podesta are saying this is for real and Hillary's talking about it, maybe the government does know and we're going to find out. And we're going to ask the president about this. That's what's changed to me.
What do you think, Richard?
Well, I'm just reading a comment that Chris Wolford wrote in the message group, which is exactly true, which I was thinking of. He writes, Richard has met with a high-level guy for the CIA who said that some presidents are in the know and some are not told a thing. This is true. And I mean,
but why would he tell you that?
I'll talk to you privately. Grant knows who this person is.
Well, why would he tell you that? That's a question about whistleblowers. If Hillary Clinton is under investigation now for four emails that may have leaked above top secret special access stuff, that's a class one felony, life in prison, why would some CIA guy come out and tell you about the top secret? I mean, it's like Greer had the statement that there was CIA guys in the early days of the Clinton thing were flying from Washington, coming down to North Carolina to tell him the story. They're going to jail.
This is a good question. This is someone that you know as well. So this is an individual who's fairly well known, and I just don't want to give up his name at the moment. Okay. And it's not that he volunteered this information to me. I think that
the vast majority of these people are all controlled. It's like the Chase Brandon thing.
I want to hear what Richard was going to say. Go ahead, Richard. Say about that guy that you want to give the name.
Well, first of all, just backing away from a second here, because I don't want this to get heated. The thing is, when you look at presidential policy in general, forget UFOs for a moment, it is really not difficult, in my view, to see that a president is not someone who really formulates these policies. All right, most geopolitical policy, most neoliberal, most neoconservative policy, that is most war policy and most globalization policy, does not originate with the president. These are larger than the White House. They are larger than U.S. than any U.S. president. All right, and this, I think, is also true with the UFO topic, that this is bigger than the president. So, no, I don't think it's true that the president is simply running it. Now, I may agree with you that the president is briefed. Maybe that's possible. But I don't therefore think it's possible or likely that the president then has authority to do much about this. This is my guess. I don't know. I admit that I don't know.
It does look like Obama knows something that he's not saying. Hillary knows something she's not saying. Bill Clinton knows something. Podesta definitely knows something. So let's move forward. And, you know, we have two different political points of view, which, you know, some people say there's a cabal, some people say it's the president. But it does come down to how is this whole thing going to play out? So, Grant, if we keep going forward with the way the politics and the leaks are moving, how do you see the disclosure event, because it will be an event, really playing out here?
I say that Obama is going to be under tremendous pressure, serious questions. The media, major media has realized they've been had. and it could unravel in a couple of weeks. This is moving very, very fast. This is, nobody's playing around anymore. I don't think it's going to be, they can't control anything, and that's what's going to happen with disclosure. It will always, when the disclosure does come in any, even 1%, it starts to unravel, because you can't just, for Stanton Friedman used to say, just say there's UFOs and we're not going to talk about the rest. That's not going to happen. So it's going to unravel, but it's unraveling right now.
But do you think at some point Obama's going to get an evening address to the people and say, I have news, how's that actually, what do you think? I mean, who knows what it's really going to look like, but what do you think could be the way, hypothesize the unfoldment of this? As it leads up to election day, even.
I to me, it looks like a Watergate type thing.
What do you mean? What like the congressional hearings or?
Well, where it sort of unravels very fast, where he's under pressure to say something, where the questions intensify, the number of investigations intensify. To me, it's unraveling. It's like a Watergate type thing where, oh, there's nothing to it. We didn't break in and stuff. And people start to realize, well, no, maybe there's a truth to the story. And people are starting to look into it. That's what's changed.
And what do you think, Richard? Because something is snowballing here in a way. That's why this is historic. That's why this conversation, I think, is so important. We are in a new zone, a new world, and yes, we have not gone down this road before. And it's really exciting. So, go ahead. What do you think is how it's going to unfold here?
No, and here's why I actually totally, anyways, I totally agree with Grant and yourself. I mean, I think we could be at a tipping point. And it's shocking to me. Like, I would not have expected it. I guess in theory, I would say that I've expected, you know, over the last decade, that I used to say just theoretically, because I do think we're in a very tumultuous era and that things are likely to happen in such an era. And indeed, it's quite possible that we've reached a kind of critical mass around now in which things are happening. And Grant's right. I mean, the news media coverage is a little bit different. Now, I think they're in a mode of spin control. I think it's a mode of rebranding and so forth. But I do think it's very possible that what we're seeing is a recognition that they've got to deal with this. And but here's the problem is, like, I don't think there's any easy way to deal with this. I think that the legal repercussions, the political repercussions, the societal repercussions are not going to be easy to contain. And I'm still kind of inching toward this, because I don't even think that they know exactly what they're getting into. They should read my book. That'll give them an idea. But there's really no, I think they're just kind of traipsing along into this.
Okay.
Well, I agree.
Oh, go ahead, Grant.
I agree with Richard. I mean, I wrote the article, it was used to be called the 64 Reasons They've Decided Not to Tell You the Truth. But you start looking at it, I mean, Richard's right. I mean, this could get ugly when it starts to unfold, because politicians don't want to do anything unless they're 100% sure that it's going to work. And that's, I think, one of the main reasons why they've never gone down this road, is because they really don't know if the stock market's going to melt down, if you know, you're going to get 10,000 lawsuits from cattle mutilation people. And, you know, I say within the first 5 minutes, somebody's going to ask the question, Mr. President, you're constitutionally responsible for the protection of the American people. It's been estimated that millions of people have been abducted by these evil aliens. What are you doing? I mean, it could get somewhat ugly. And that's where I say Podesta, I don't think really cares. He's on this thing about open government. And it's almost like the horse is out of the barn now. And it's going to unravel the way it's going to unravel. And whatever happens, happens.
Richard, there's a question here about that source. And I think you went over that. You had some source from the CIA that told you some inside information. You don't have to name the source, of course.
Well, but like some presidents have known more than others. I'm going to talk to you and Grant after we're done. I'll give this in confidence to them. I think Grant might have suspicion of what it is already. And I may come out with it one day. I don't know. But what I wanted to say was, much, much earlier in the chat, I monitored a little bit, and someone mentioned Bluebeam and the idea of an ET false flag scenario used to, you know, justify kind of global fascism. I've never been a believer in the blue beam scenario personally, but I am concerned about a similar thing happening with disclosure, so that, you know, if a president were to give a disclosure event, press conference, that just like so many other things that are going on in our world today, that this too could and probably would be used as another excuse to give government greater access to our emails and greater surveillance. In other words, a further clampdown of a global police state. I don't know that that would be the case, but I could easily see that happening. And Grant was talking earlier about, you know, some people, you know, going into the fear mode. Well, Mr. President, you have to protect us. Is it that difficult to see that this is where the U.S. national security community would want to go, like kind of a 9/11 mode? Let's clamp down. We've got to protect the public from this. And that, I think, would be a very, very dangerous road, a very, very dark road to take.
Isn't that sort of what she says about national security, if it doesn't compromise national security? This obviously is an infringement on national security. That's exactly what you're saying. Like, this comes out, the people are going to be very insecure.
Right. But it's more complex than that. I mean, right, these beings have been here a long time. And if it's an invasion, it's not like any invasion that I can think of. Someone else in the chat room, he seems like a very good guy, Joey, but he's been basically going into the Stephen Greer kind of perspective of it, and then just states here, abductions are done by PLFs, not ETs. And I don't think that that's a justifiable statement. Greer has talked as if he knows firsthand that there are PLFs. No one, to my knowledge, I don't know of a single other researcher who has gotten that particular information. That is only Greer has gotten the so-called PLFs.
What does PLF stand for?
Programmable life forms. And Greer has talked for very many years about his alleged knowledge that this is a real thing, that all abductions are done by basically the evil human cabal, that all the ETs are benign. We've heard this many times. I don't agree with that. I don't say that all ETs are evil. And I'm not saying that they're all necessarily whether best interest. I think that that's rather naive.
I mean, we can move into that part of the conversation, but I do want to finish up this about how I think the ETs, confronting the ETs, is a shift in consciousness. We are no longer thinking the way human beings are used to thinking. There's a radical awareness of who we are. There's like an altered state of consciousness, I think, happens in the presence of these ETs, and we're in a whole different reality. But before we get into that, I just want to back up a little bit and talk about the influence of Lawrence Rockefeller and where him and his alliance to Hillary Clinton. Doesn't seem to be enough made about that. She got in on it in the 90s. She was in on something. So people say it comes down to Obama, but Hillary Clinton has been waiting for this moment, perhaps, since that Rockefeller initiative, and maybe she will, if she's elected, have open congressional hearings and bring it out. I'm just throwing that out there because I think Rockefeller needs to be talked about a little more and what he was up to. You know what I'm saying? Richard, Grant,
maybe Grant should open up.
What was Rockefeller wanting with the Rockefeller Initiative? What was he hoping to come forward in the 90s?
Well, he basically wanted the same as Podesta. He wanted an open disclosure of the situation, and he made the approach, and this is where I say they protected the president. He never got to the president. He never got to speak to the president about the issue. He was cut off at the pass by the science advisor. The science advisor asks the CIA for a briefing, and they pull this little scam where we're not into it. So they get Bruce McAbee to write the briefing for the science advisor. And as I said, Hillary is running interference. She's the one that all the material from Rockefeller to the science advisor and from science advisor to Rockefeller is going through the first lady's office. So because the president can't be a player, he sits on the sidelines. And I maintain he knew what was going on. He doesn't need to talk to Rockefeller. So Rockefeller is pushing this thing. And in the end, he just basically gave up because according to Whitley Strieber, after he did the briefing at the Rockefeller Ranch with Hillary. Hillary didn't say anything, and the next morning Hillary came down and said, okay, we've listened to you, now don't ever bring up the subject again. And yeah. I believe that for Hillary, this is still a toxic issue. She's with us back in the old days, that this is not something that you really want to deal with. And that's why I say it's pedestal. If it were up to Hillary, she would not deal with this issue. And she has openly answered questions. So, for example, a lot of people put out the stuff that she refuses to talk about the Rockefeller Initiative. That is not true. She talked to Rob Simone in January of 2008 at a fundraiser in Los Angeles. He asked her about the Rockefeller Initiative. She didn't deny anything. She said, yes, I was there and I took the stuff to the president. And so it's an issue that I believe if it were up to her, this would not come up. And she has not brought it up except to answer questions. I think this is all Podesta's doing.
Right. Okay. I think I could show also now that Chris Matthews piece. Chris Matthews is a pretty intelligent guy, but then he's like, he's thrown off the subject by this science advisor who I said looks like 12 years old. And so have you seen this Chris Matthews piece, Richard?
Not sure. No, I don't think so.
All right. I'm going to do a screen share because it's strange. I mean, here he is on top of the topic. And then is there anybody in the chat? I mean, there's lots of conversation in the chat room. I want to also acknowledge that. Is there anything you see there? I mean, there's lots of questions and it's hard to get to everybody, but let me.
A lot of very insightful, knowledgeable people in there.
ABC clip of Michio Kaku. Okay, I'm going to go to this Chris Matthews, who's another guy. And what's your opinion of Chris Matthews, Richard, as far as a political analyst?
I mean, these people are painful for me to watch, to be honest.
Okay.
He's skeptical. I mean, he's the one that in 2000 and...
He went after Bill Richardson, didn't he?
Richardson, and then he brought on Biden, and Biden said, what is this, a joke? I mean, come on, this is nonsense.
All right, well, maybe, I guess I'll show this. I guess,
yeah, sure.
Everything
I guess this is worth showing.
The horrible all right. people, all of them.
This is, are you seeing this here?
Yeah.
Okay, let me just press play. I have to find the play button. Okay, let me see. Okay.
Tea fans, right. Take note. Hillary Clinton says if she becomes president, she'll release details about the secret Area 51. And you who care about this know who you are. This is Hardball, the place for politics.
Okay, let me go a little Hardball.
You know, there's a new name. It's Unexplained Aerial Phenomenon.
Unexplained aerial phenomena,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, UAP. That's the latest nomenclature.
I like the old one. I like UFO. I don't know why.
Well, I think we can use them interchangeably, but I would like us to go into those files and hopefully make as much of that public as possible. If there's nothing there, let's tell people there's nothing there.
What if there is something there?
Well, if there is something there, unless it's a threat to national security, I think we ought to share it with the public.
Well, it's Hillary Clinton and Jimmy Kimmel saying that if she were president, she would like to release information on Area 51, that Air Force base in Nevada. Some people believe stores classified government files on UFOs. Amy Chosdiak of the New York Times writes that, quote, Mrs. Clinton has vowed that barring any threats to national security, she would open up government files on the subject, a shift from President Obama, who typically dismisses the topic as a joke. Her position has elated UFO enthusiasts who have declared Mrs. Clinton the first ET candidate. That's their quote.
That's Stephen Bassett.
Campaign chairman and her husband's former advisor, John Podesta, an X-Files fanatic, according to the Times, has pushed for the disclosure of this information for years.
I think it's time to open the books on questions that have remained in the dark on the question of government investigations of UFOs. It's time to find out what the truth really is that's out there. We ought to do it really because it's right. We ought to do it because the American people, quite frankly, can handle the truth. And we ought to do it because it's the law.
Well, Clara Moskowitz is the senior editor of Scientific America. She covers space and physics. There's a couple of questions. Thank you for coming on, Ms. Moskowitz. One, is there any physical evidence on this planet? Has anyone ever found of UFOs?
Look, I'd be the first to admit it if there was, but no, there's absolutely no reason to think aliens have been here.
No evidence of spaceships, of flying saucers, ETs of any kind, none. It's never been discovered or detected or claimed.
Absolutely not. I mean, take Area 51, okay? We know that that's where the government tests experimental aircraft. So if people have seen weird-looking aircraft flying around, it seems perfectly reasonable. All of the claimed evidence can be explained in perfectly logical, normal ways like that.
Let me ask you about the other question I have, which is to do with communication. We've all seen the Jodie Foster, not everybody, I've seen it, I see everything, I guess, the Jodie Foster movie, Contact. Have we, in our efforts to try to offer up the chance to have some foreign intelligence respond to us, ever gotten a response to those broadcasts, those transmissions?
We have not gotten any response. You know, occasionally, like, we've seen a signal that got everybody excited, but so far everything has a perfectly logical astrophysical explanation. It doesn't mean we've stopped searching. You know, people are actively looking because pure statistics says, sure, maybe life is out there. It seems reasonable. We see planets everywhere we look out in the universe. But so far, there's not a shred of anything resembling scientific evidence that aliens exist anywhere.
You know, anybody in public life, like people like me in journalism and been in politics, you come across people who have strong beliefs about conspiracies. They believe, they usually, unfortunately, I meet a lot of them and they come up to me and they always have a unitary theory. Of course, if they believe John Kennedy was shot by the mob or by somebody else on the right, they will say that. And then they'll also say that Bobby Kennedy was shot in the same mysterious way. Some people just have an inclination for conspiracies. Where would you connect? What would you say about people who believe there is a situation where the government of the United States knows about ETs, it knows about space creatures coming here, and it's for whatever reason, and this is the hard one, why do they think they've covered it up?
Right. I mean, they think that we can't handle the truth, except people love that stuff. It would be one of the most inspiring discoveries in the history of mankind. I think people would be eager to share that evidence. And
So
the whole government conspiracy just doesn't fly because, first of all, it's not plausible that they could keep something a secret this well for this long, something that huge. And the motivation is just not there at all. You would definitely have a whistleblower, right?
Why do you think Hillary Clinton wants to open the files?
You know, I have to say, I really
don't
know.
I mean, it could be pandering. Politics, I know politics. I don't know what this foreign stuff for alien culture potentials. But I can tell you know what politics is. If there's a group of 1 million people out there and nobody's going for them yet, and they're the UFO aficionados, Hillary would go for them like any other politician. She's just the first one to grab for them. I know how politics works. There must be some people out there who want to hear this, want to hear the files are going to be open, and will vote on that one issue. I'm sure there's probably a couple hundred thousand people like that.
You know, maybe it's about government transparency. I'm all for releasing the records. Look, I mean, I think that let's put this mystery to bed, right? You know, those few people who still are holding out because they think there's a conspiracy will see the records and realize there isn't. So I'm all for releasing that data, but I can't imagine that there's going to be a huge political gain in that.
I think they'll say it was a cover-up no matter what comes out. That's the way the mind works. Thank you, Claire Moskowitz. I love your clear thinking and logic and scientific, method.
He's just trying to get a date.
That is all. That is painful for me to watch. That woman, Clara Moskowitz.
Who brought this woman out? Where is I? My God.
She does look like she's 12 years old. Not. I mean, I'm sure she's scientific. But why doesn't Chris Matthews have one of you two guys? If he wants to ask, is there evidence? You guys are the perfect ones.
Well, what there's evidence of, absolutely verifiable evidence that's not arguable, is that the United States government and military have been encountering what they would call UFOs and flying saucers for a long time. They don't seem to have an answer for them. These things do things for years and years that have been considered impossible, but they do them anyway. They're tracked doing them. Mm-hmm. They try to intercept them. They can't get them. And it's gone on, it's gone on and on and on. So at the same time that they've told the public there's nothing to it. That's a discrepancy, and that's not explained in any of these official statements.
But Chris Matthews, like, lays down. She said, oh, yeah, there's nothing to it. Well, then he just, like, said, oh, yeah, there must not be anything to it. I mean, that is poor journalism. What do you say, Grant?
But he's old school. That's what all the journalists were used to be like, and that's where the shift has changed with the New York Times, where suddenly the New York Times went, oh, wow, maybe we're wrong. He's still the old school. He's playing the skeptic. It's a joke. I mean, who's taking this seriously? He may get the awakening down the road. You never know.
But so Scientific America, she's a senior editor. I don't know how that could be, but anyway, she's the senior editor. And they're old school too. Well, we don't see it. SETI's not picking up. They're missing. You can just go through the FBI files, go to the vault and type in UFOs and you can see things.
One person writes in the chat room, Lori Rosenfield, totally right. They're not journalists. They're news actors. None of these. Chris Matthews can't be considered a journalist. These are right. Talking heads. Literally, that's all they are. And all of these mainstream establishment news. The United States news industry has never been at a lower point than it is right now. It is the lowest it has ever been in its history, where you have this slavish obedience to an establishment line. I mean, it's always been kind of bad, but it's just gone down worse and worse and worse. So whether it's Hardball, or even New York Times, like I'm still really not seeing this great shift in the New York Times. I'm seeing an acknowledgement of a reality, but they are, New York Times is the establishment publication. They're just not gonna give up the game that easily. I just don't believe it.
But you know, I do see a shift. You get someone like Hillary Clinton, especially listening in that Breakfast Club. She was, maybe I can find the video, even though we heard the audio. She is seriously listening to this guy who claims to be abducted. You don't find any other politician in history open to that kind of conversation. That's a shift. That's a consciousness shift. She's on another level, whether you like her politics or not. Yeah, she's a hawkish, you know, basically Republican, but something in her is activated to this idea. I mean, don't you think, Grant, something's
open? Well, sure. I mean, if you look back at the Clintons were in a lot of trouble. Some of the newspapers have started bringing this thing up about Hillary and the channeling, Eleanor Roosevelt. I mean, they're new age people. I mean, the Clintons were bringing these people in on the weekends to Camp David and all sorts of new age type people. They're really into this kind of stuff. So I can see her, this is just a toxic issue that she doesn't want to touch because she wants to be president worse than she wants the UFO thing out. But she's into this kind of stuff. I firmly believe that.
She's into it. And, you know, there was some statistic that like one third of the American public believes there are UFOs out there. I think that was that the National Geographic poll from 2012?
Let me give you two other stories to show the support that they have. I gave a lecture in Arkansas one time. And, of course, that's Hillary Clinton country. I got a woman that claimed to be the sister of the person who owned the famous barbecue restaurant in Hot Springs, Arkansas, where the Clintons used to hang out. She said, I know why they're interested. And she said, either they or someone very close to them had a UFO sighting, and that's why they're interested in it. That was the one thing. The other thing was, I was offered a lecture for a very famous singer, and I didn't get picked for it. There was three people on the list, and I didn't get picked. But this was a friends of the Clintons, a very famous singer, and I was going to give this lecture, and then I said, we're talking about who was going to be there. She said, well, you got to be realizing some of the people that might show up at the lecture. And she mentioned Walter Cronkite and Hillary Clinton. So then this was like one of these rich people who, you know, bring in the entertainment, you know, for the afternoon.
Was this a UFO lecture, you're saying?
Yeah, UFO lecture. Oh. And this singer was just into UFOs, but Hillary Clinton was one of the people I was told might show up at the lecture. So, I mean, the Clintons are into this kind of stuff. It's just the old idea that it's a toxic issue, and that if you're Dennis Kucinich and you hear voices, you ain't going to talk about it, because the Wall Street Journal went after him after that story broke, and he actually stated, not only did he see a UFO, the Shirley MacLaine's bodyguard was there, and his girlfriend was there, and they were standing on the deck, and this thing was like 50 feet away from them, over top of the swimming pool, and that they had all drawn stuff, and that in the morning they all knew something was happening. They knew the entire day that something was about to happen, and they all did drawings, and the Wall Street Journal got promised that they would give all this kind of stuff. But when his campaign went south after talking about it, he backed out of that promise to give the Wall Street Journal all this material. It's just an issue you don't want to talk. There's a lot of people on the Hill that are into UFOs, but you would never mention it. The same as if you're the National Academy of Sciences, you're not going to mention it, because it's an issue that will end your career.
But not anymore, obviously.
Not anymore. That's the change.
Right.
That's the change. Nobody's laughing anymore.
Hillary did get in trouble for channeling Eleanor Roosevelt at the White House with Gene Houston. I mean, that was a big blow up. And
yeah, that's the idea of the woo-woo thing being a toxic issue. But yeah. You take a look at now, nobody's going after her for this. That's where the attitude to me has changed.
It is an amazing transformation. I have to say, it caught me off guard. I was not expecting it to
caught me off guard too.
But why isn't the news media talking to you guys? You are really two of the best historians on the subject that I know. You've done years of research. You are the guys.
What's that? I don't know about Grant. I'm not a household name. I mean,
Stephen Bassett, he was mentioned in that Times article, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, a couple of inquiries just in the last couple of weeks. But
you got to remember, this has only happened in the last week, that right. Most of the reporters are still in the old school, that this is a joke. I remember I was interviewed because I did the all the FOIAs for the Clinton administration, and 11 of the first 18 FOIAs out of the Clinton library were UFO stuff. And Hillary actually mentions that to Damon Steer. She says, do you know the most requested item at the Clinton library is UFOs? She was aware of this. And all the media was aware of this as well. So I got interviewed a lot when that story broke about 11 of the first 18 FOIAs were UFO mm-hmm. stuff. And I was talking twice to the Associated Press, to Washington Post. And I was interviewed a second time, a long interview with the Washington Post. And every one of them, whether it was Fox News, Associated Press, I gave them all the Clinton documents, the Hillary Clinton documents, and tried to get them to run with it. And none of them would run for it, even deal with these two documents that showed that she was in the middle of the Rockefeller Initiative. And the one Washington Post guy said to me, he said, what's the big deal? This shows you how skeptical they still are. He said, what's the big deal? So what? The first lady's into UFOs. I said, well, the whole point is there's nothing to this. The official government position is there is no UFOs. So if the first lady is running interference and taking material to the president, as in the middle of this big initiative with thousands of pages of documents, this is a big deal. And when he did the article, he still didn't deal with it, because they're still in this sort of like flat earth mentality that this is all nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is like key. What's the big deal? Is like, once you admit this is a possibility or a reality, your thinking changes. Your the scope of your reality. John Mack used to call it ontological shock, when your ontology, your sense of reality, was pulled out from under you. But this is a slow change, and I think the level of reality, once you acknowledge this other life, we're in a whole new world. It's like Copernicus, you know, saying that the Earth is not the center of the universe. Well, we're saying that now. And when he said that, well, maybe the common people didn't care what's the big deal, but I think it changed everything on a consciousness and awareness level. It led to the age of exploration. It led to, this could lead to things we have yet to be aware of when this comes out. I mean, you say this, Richard, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. It would lead to tremendous change, and probably the most necessary changes that our civilization faces would hinge upon a disclosure.
Go through that list, because that book is really brilliant.
Well, thank you. I just think that, I mean, it's not simply a philosophical, it's not just a philosophical change, that, you know, are we alone in the universe and so on. That's the beginning. I mean, it would transform our science. It would when we talk about consciousness, Grant's been talking a lot about this. I mean, think about it. Any understanding of them, once this comes out, we recognize that they're here. People have been communicating on a telepathic basis with these beings. It doesn't say something just about them. It says something about us. And I really believe that an opening of the UFO mystery in this basis will help us gain some serious understanding as to who we are. But I'm thinking even in more practical terms, politically. And this is where I just keep, my imagination is failing me to see why Hillary Clinton or Podesta can see this as a positive thing. When you come out with this reality, all right, it's an inevitability, it seems to me, that people will ask, how has this cover-up been maintaining itself for so long? How has the political institutions been controlled? How has the media been controlled by this? It certainly has been. I mean, hell, you know, years ago, Carl Bernstein came out in 1977 with Operation Mockingbird, and we've gone so far beyond Mockingbird now.
What was Mockingbird?
Mockingbird was a CIA program to manage U.S. mainstream media with paid journalists.
Oh, right,
who were paid, and this is all a real thing during the 40s, 50s, 60s, and then the 70s. Major journalists were on the CIA payroll to spin, to kill stories, sometimes to create fake stories. They did all of this to spy on the U.S. against the Soviets and all of it. These are journalists being used for purposes of national security. The American public had no idea. They would have been very annoyed, I think, had they known. We've gone so far beyond that. So do we honestly think that this is not going to have been used against us in the UFO field? And then people are going to want to know about the cover-up, the deep cover-up, Area 51, S4, whatever bases are concerned with studying alien technology. How long do we think that this is going to be kept from us? The black budget. I mean, maybe what might be a breakaway civilization, or how far does the classified technology go? At the very least, we could be asking these questions. And it's a massive illegality that I can't imagine. Now, it may be President Hillary would think that if she gets the truth out there, she will benefit politically from this. This has been Bassett's position for years. He thought back in 02, 03, he said this to me, that George W. Bush would disclose. I said, really? He said, it's in his interest. I said, well, I don't really believe that's going to happen. That didn't happen. It didn't happen with Obama. Everyone predicted Obama was going to disclose in 08, 09. I mean, I heard this nonstop. Mm-hmm. I thought it was ridiculous. And now we're hearing this again. It's a little different now, I agree, but the obstacles are so mountainous. I mean, honestly, the mind is just, I'm boggled by thinking how they think they can get this out without it being a disaster.
But let me make a point. I think, Richard, you and I may actually have to apologize to Bassett. I mean, I said the same thing at one of his ex conferences when we were on a panel, and he said, when do you think disclosure is going to take place? And I said, 2042. And the look on his face, he was
I remember. I think I remember you saying.
He was shocked. And so I didn't believe it either, but it's almost like Bassett may win.
I mean, you were more conservative than me. I was in between you and Bassett. I actually had an interview with Alfred Lambremont Weber about 5 years ago. I was so annoyed with him too, because he said to me, Richard, when do you think disclosure can happen? And I said something like, well, I mean, honestly, Alfred, I don't know. It could be as early as tomorrow, I suppose. But realistically, I think probably within the next 20 years. And he put out, he was doing articles for, he was doing like daily articles at the time or back. And he wrote, UFO historian predicts disclosure like within a year. And I was like, God darn it, Alfred. But I think, I mean, I would say this, like it can happen suddenly. And in fact, this is what Bryce Zabel and I wrote in After Disclosure, that it will be this unexpected thing. Like, you know, Monday morning, you'll wake up, no big thing. By Wednesday afternoon, boom, it's all happened. I really do think it's this rapid snowball effect will happen. So I think most of us will be caught off guard. It's true, Bassett's the eternal optimist, but let's just say one thing here. If he's right about it happening this year, I will just say he had been wrong for the past decade and a half. So I've got that. But I would like Steve Bassett to be right. I think, you know, as messy as a disclosure will be, I mean, it's not going to be an easy process, in my opinion. I think we really need this. I mean, we're at this kind of enforced adolescence of our civilization. I don't think it's healthy for us to be living on a lie that's the foundation of our world. I don't think that's healthy. So we need to get this out so we can have an intelligent public conversation about the implications of what this means. We've got to do that.
I mean, Whitley Strieber makes a really good comment that we have to then reevaluate ourselves as human beings, you know, because when we acknowledge there's these other consciousnesses and people are claiming, channeling, whatever, they're in touch. They're expanding possibly their way of thinking to make telepathic contact. In any abduction scenario, it's always, there's a telepathic component. And if we acknowledge that, we have to acknowledge that there's more to us. You know, and I think that's the preparation, how we expand as human beings. And you can talk about the download stuff too as well, Grant, that people are getting messages. It seems like over the last, 20, 30, 40 years, I'm writing about that. So what are you saying about these downloads, Grant?
Well, I'd like to comment on the switch, because basically what you're going to have as Richard pointed out, a dramatic switch, and one of them is the Ronald Reagan statement, how the world will become one, and that's I think a serious issue for the United States of America, which I can't believe the U.S. government's going for. It's no longer going to be the United States of America running the world. It's going to be, you're just one of, as Ronald Reagan said, we're all God's children, and we're all just one, and there is no nations, and it's like the old idea that, you know, nationalism is the last refuge of scoundrels, that this is something that's going to be very hard to give up. And so there's going to be a lot of changes that are going to have to take place. But you can see the aliens when it comes to this download thing. If you look at Edgar Mitchell's free group and the stuff that's coming out there with these 2,500 experiences that fill out the form, you can see that it's almost like we're watching them turn the pages of a book, that they have some influence over what's happening here. It's not just us doing some sort of rational analysis of this thing, that they are playing a part in this thing, that a bunch of people are running around getting these 42% are getting downloads and of these highly technical stuff, which I've seen some of this stuff. It's kind of an amazing shift that, it's not just a government shift. It's also a shift of people with their minds being changed.
Right. I want to read something from Whitley's latest book, Supernatural, because I think he makes a very interesting observation. He says, even if the reality of aliens are announced to the world by credible authorities, a new way of addressing the matter is still essential to any successful understanding. Right now, contact would be taken as a beginning of interaction with another society, something like ours. But from all evidence, this approach would be a failure. To make real contact work, we must not forget what is actually the central reality of the whole matter. Not only that we don't know who and what they are, but we also don't know who and what we are. So, you know, that opens up a whole new direction for the population of the planet. You know, okay, they're here. Who are they? How do they think? How do they interact? What's their society? But our thinking will fundamentally change. We'll be going from like the way they thought about hunter-gatherer societies to agriculturalists. That's, I think, the kind of paradigm mindset shift that will be initiated. And to some people, shockingly, when this is announced, that's
funny. Everyone in the chat room is saying great quote, excellent quote. I totally agree. I think, you know, Whitley really has this gift for going very deep where most of us don't always go as deep. He really is very thoughtful about this. And I've come to feel over the years, I know Grant agrees, that the more I look into this phenomenon, the more I think it says a lot about us and what our potential is, particularly in vis-a-vis to these other intelligences. And maybe that's the greatest reason for this cover-up, other than the energy, I think probably control over the energy paradigm. But, you know, control over what we are as human beings is, it's a very, it may just be that we have much greater potential. And I think an exploration of this phenomenon could open that up.
Well, and you get two sides now. You get the people like Hillary Clinton, who, I mean, as a human being, she's saying, well, maybe there is something. I do sincerely think she is wondering whether she's doing for political reasons or not. She's at least over the hump. And then you get this woman who was on the Chris Matthews show saying, nah, don't worry about it. There's nothing out there. And that's very, you know, old school.
I was very deeply influenced by a book I just recently published by Mike Clellan called The Messengers. I really think this is an outstanding book. And what he does, he talks a lot about synchronicities. And I don't want to go into the whole story that he's getting into. He talks a lot about owls. If you heard of the owl guy, that's Mike. But really what he's about is bizarre, really bizarre synchronicities that have occurred in his life and the lives of countless people who have written to his blog site. And what you come away with is this feeling. It's an undeniable feeling that there's this intelligence that's looking at us, kind of playing us and giving us these synchronicities. The whole idea of causality, what I had grown up believing with, is not the same thing. And so when you bring in this extraterrestrial component, all right, I no longer believe that we're likely to grasp who these other beings are, right, or to be able to operate on their level. You and I, Alan, have talked about this.
Right.
I think that we will always struggle really to understand what they are. It's like a difference. It's like gorillas trying to understand us.
Yeah.
It would be like dogs having conferences when we leave for work to get together and ask, what do the humans do when they leave the house? Like, you know, it's an absurd idea because they're dogs. It would be like us trying to understand these other beings. Perhaps a little bit of that going on. Like, we just may never really get it. That doesn't mean we can't try. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't try, because we'll get somewhere. But I just don't think that we're...
I agree with you. We may not have the capacity to understand what's really there. But Grant, why don't you share what you were going to share about your synchronicity? Grant has in preparation for this whole webinar, Grant, tell him what happened.
Well, first I'd like to make a statement about disclosure and how it relates to the overall picture. And that is, I've said a lot of times that disclosure is sort of it's like football, or it's like weather. A lot of people think that, you know, sort of the sun's going to come out, all the poor people are going to get fed, and really nothing like that's going to happen, because basically when you get disclosure, it's there's going to be, you know, a couple of skeptics who are going to looking for a bridge to jump off of, because their whole life will be totally meaningless, all the crap they've been putting out. But in terms of you and I, we already know that this is taking place. And the bigger event is that, say disclosure, it's like it's our football team. So, you know, the New York Giants or whatever. And we suddenly discovered that we could, like now, we could win the Super Bowl. Like, we're actually, looks like we're gonna get this thing. And so we're going to have the big party. You and I and Rich are going to have a big party on Sunday, have a couple of beers. And Monday morning, we're going to get up, and it had nothing to do with us. Yeah. It was something that happened on the outside, and it still comes down to, why are you and I on this earth, and where are we going? And that's when I start getting into the sort of the I'm giving a lecture on the spiritual implications, and I always tell the story that if you want to see this, you may not believe me if I tell you, but if you listen to the Moody Blues, and the Moody Blues were like one of the top bands of all time, sold 50 million albums. Everybody in the UFO community seems to be into the Moody Blues and their music and stuff like that. And they were clearly abducted in 1967. They don't deny it. The one guy draws the alien they saw. There was 3 hours missing time coming into London from a concert in Manchester. And Colin Andrews tells the story. He's had a number of major bands that came to him and told him various stories. And the Moody Blues come to him, and Mike Pinder and the lead guitarist, after one of his lectures. And they want to talk to him about an experience. And they basically say, we remember before we were born. We remember coming into this earth. We remember sitting with a bunch of elders, and we were told that we were going to be musicians, and we were going to put lyrics into songs. And so you get this whole thing. And I say, I can't remember what the Edgar Mitchell stats are. It's pretty high. It's like 50% or something of people who believe they remember before they were born, that they've made agreement to come in and be involved in this UFO type thing. You don't need 50%. You just need one. If one person remembers before they were born and tie it into this UFO thing, then this is no longer just a physical thing. This has got very spiritual implications as to what's actually going on. And I think that's the bigger question, is not disclosure and how it's going to unfold. It is, what does it mean about where we came from and where we're going?
Well, that's the disclosure, is the first step. I mean, let's get people on that page. And then, you know, it's a step-by-step process. I mean, I don't think people are ready to make that leap, but we get them to disclosure, and then something shifts in their mind.
We're always looking at disclosure as, like, the aliens are, I always say people confuse the aliens with Santa Claus. Like, they're here to bring us free energy, and they're here to give us all this kind of stuff. And nothing's further from the truth. I mean, they're basically, you know, like alarm clocks as to what's going on the earth. And so we see it as a physical thing. Like Stephen Greer says, well, we can have, you know, massive increases in the economy. And I say, be careful what you wish for. I mean, the Chinese economy was growing at 10% a year. Can you imagine giving the Chinese economy or the Indian economy with $2 wages free energy? I mean, you think we're getting buried by them now? Wait, and you're just going to absolutely use up the resources. All it does is change nothing really changes. You just have different problems to deal with. So we're going to have the problem of overproduction, of you know, free energy will present all sorts of new problems.
Right. But I do think the spiritual evolution, awakening comes, you know, we need that, comes to the planet at some point. We are, more people are calling themselves spiritual, not religious. That is the fastest growing population. But anyway, Richard's had a long day there. But,
well, I'm sure we all have. Sure.
I know, but let's get to that place that you wanted to play, the Bashar.
I'll just mention the synchronicity is that you and I and Richard were having a conversation last night about this. And I am a big follower of Bashar because every time I get sort of a download or inspiration, I always say, I wonder what Bashar would say about this. And then I'll Google Bashar with whatever the term is. And he seems to be saying exactly what had come into my head. So this morning, I on Thursdays, I usually walk the mall and I load an MP3 with maybe 10 hours of, you know, different interviews and people, stuff like that. And I just walk around and I listen to these interviews. And this morning, it's like the third clip. And here comes Bashar on. And he says this whole thing about before the 2016 election, everything's going to change. And I'm telling you, it just shivers went up my spine. He's talking about this thing, everything's going to change. And then he started talking about something else. And it was just so bizarre after talking about last night about what does this actually mean about this fact that something has actually changed here.
Wow, that is interesting. And he's Bashar's totally into the synchronicity. He says his world runs on synchronicity.
Yeah.
I do think there's something that we're discovering about consciousness not being a local phenomena, all the remote viewing experiments. And I think this is part of the evolution, part of the spiritual expansion that UFOs are about. I think John Mack said UFOs are like an outreach program from the universe for the consciously impaired, and that's us, you know.
Yes.
So I
wrote about this in my last book, UFOs for the 21st Century Mind. I spent a lot of time really trying to grapple with the whole issue of consciousness, and including channeling, and doing my best to try to understand how this all fits into what we call the UFO subject. And I do believe it has a place. So I do believe in non-local consciousness at this point in my life. I think there's very good scientific backing for the idea of non-locality. And certainly consciousness studies were only the beginning of it, but I think in really grasping it. So it's all important. My only issue is that when I deal with popular and much more interesting, I have to say, than most of the others, I don't know how to judge. You know, I mean, I want a channeler to provide some kind of falsifiable, verifiable data. And if something big happens in 2016, we might be able to interpret that as validating Bashar. It's a little bit, still a little vague, frankly.
Well, something big has already happened. That's what our whole conversation's been about the last 2 hours. This big, right? Could be what he was talking about.
Well, here's another David Wilcock prediction I'm just seeing. Disclosure date, July 8th, 2016.
I don't normally buy all the David Wilcock predictions, but lots of people make predictions. But I don't. I think if it happens, it'll either happen sometime before the election, or in 2017, well, maybe not before the election, but after, if Hillary Clinton's elected, or when she becomes president in early 2017, but maybe she won't become president and we'll be on a whole different track. But according to lots of people like Stephen Bassett, she is our only hope if this message, and I tend to believe it, that's not a reason to vote for her because her politics are, but you know, she's better than anything else. Well, I like Bernie Sanders, of course, but anyway, we don't want to get into politics, but she is the ET candidate. So how are we going to wrap this all up? Because well,
let's get final predictions. I say, no. I agree with Richard. There's not going to be a planned disclosure because I've got a source very close to Obama that basically said to me, they don't know what to do. They're trying to find some way without their fingerprints on it. And I said, well, good luck on that one. I think what's happening now is what's going to happen. It's going to be unraveling and there's nothing they can do. It's like this event that they're unable to control. And the event that they're unable to control is the media has suddenly realized there's a story. The president knows something and they're starting to ask serious questions. And it's, to me, it's going to be like a Watergate thing. They're going to have no control. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And then what happens, happens. But I don't think there's no way it's going to last till the election. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen very, very quickly.
And what do you think, Richard?
Well, I would say this then. If Grant is right, if this is unraveling the way that it might be, I guarantee you one thing is going to happen is that the establishment media is going to try very hard to maintain control over this over the whole UAP, UFO narrative. And it's going to be up to responsible researchers to provide a counter narrative to point out that this isn't simply something that they're not just disclosing now. It's been something that they've actively been concealing and covering up for an entire human lifetime that has involved massive illegality and that has really undermined the very foundation of the society that we like to believe that we're in, some kind of democratic Republican system of government. The UFO cover-up, in other words, has been a serious knife in the back of the American Republic. And if we don't, and it's going to be up to people like us and other people who care to get that information out there, because I think what we need is a serious backlash. This is not something that, I don't really think that it's any longer time to work within this system. I think the system is so far gone, it is irredeemable. So what we need is a serious, get the hose out and just clean it all out and start with a system that is actually based on some semblance of justice and that is not based on a police state.
Right. I promised this woman I'd ask this question. She emailed me last night, UFODAT, UFOData.net. Do you know about that? Leslie Kane and others are working on to create a systematic, rigorous science of the UFO phenomenon. Do you know about that? UFOData.net? Anything? Any comment about that?
Wait, the website? I was looking at these comments. UFOData.net?
UFO data, D-A-T-A. It's supposed to be some scientific study. If you don't know anything about it, we'll just...
A website I've always liked for a long time is ufoevidence.org. I tried corresponding with the guy who runs it. He won't tell me who he is.
You don't know anything about the data.net, ufodata.net. It does look like a very sophisticated website.
I'll go there.
I'd like to make a comment on this.
Yeah.
This goes to the consciousness thing. This is the old, let's, you know, measure it and analyze it. How many fast ones, how many slow ones, how many green ones, how many red ones, you know, all this kind of stuff. We've done this for 70 years. This is a total waste of time. It is not until you talk to somebody who's been in the craft, who's talked to the aliens, that you're going to figure out what's going on. We cannot any longer follow sightings in the sky and videos and stuff like that. We've done this. We've killed it. It's not there. We're not going to learn anything by doing this. We have to stop the sightings and we have to start listening to the experiencers. The experiencers are the people, the best chance we have as to an answer as to what's going on. And there's piles of them are walking around and you can do the analysis and the studies and talk to thousands at a time. And that's the only way we're going to learn something. We've got to stop the sighting stuff.
I agree with you. That is a shift. And, you know, we're trying to put the UFO in a box. What's that, Richard?
I sort of agree. And I sort of don't agree. I mean, I think, I definitely agree with Grant that much more important is to do proper analysis and have a proper understanding of what this subject is. Mm-hmm. So we need to be thinking about it philosophically, historically, and politically, and every other way, in terms of consciousness as well. So we need to be doing thinking about it. But I still do believe. I mean, we're at a point where we're getting thousands and thousands and thousands of sightings every single year, and almost like this many get investigated. Mm-hmm. And so and the fact is, in terms of getting genuine forward motion and acknowledgement on this subject, I think we would be better served with genuinely decent investigations. That, ideally an organization like MUFON should be able to do this sort of thing to provide some level of at least scientific-like investigation of some of these cases to the extent possible. I think we need this, and we need it globally. Because right now we have no information about what's going on around the world. We don't know a damn thing of what's happening in Africa or Southeast Asia or China.
China, they're actually interested in this.
A global collection and organization of data I think would be a very good thing, so that we actually understand what the hell we're dealing with and what the magnitude of it is. I think that would be a great thing.
But I do agree with Grant about talking to experiencers, understanding the mind, understanding the new mind. We are coming into a new mind as human beings, and this interaction with these other beings are providing an evolution. I really think so. So,
well, analysis is very important, obviously. I mean, that's what we do. I mean, I don't really do investigations of very many sightings. I mean, a couple. I've tried to do analysis. That's what Grant does. That's what you do.
Well, why don't you mention the new Grant? You're publishing actually Grant's books that are coming out now.
No,
right?
No. I published one book by Grant.
Okay.
That he co-authored. Great book, by the way. UFOs, Area 51, Government Conspiracies, I think. That's a great book.
Yes.
It was a seminal book that Grant and Scott Crane did and then revised, and it's excellent. But no, Grant's doing other work on, you're doing other publishing on your own, right?
What are you publishing, Grant?
I'm doing the Clinton UFO storybook, which is basically when I saw the polls, this is a number of months ago, that Hillary probably was going to make it through. All I did is I put all my material. So I go through their history, and it's like 330 pages. So it's a long history, and I go through the history of their involvement in UFOs and what happened to the Rockefeller Initiative and which departments, which people in the Clinton administration were involved. And I talk about these latest events, what's going on now, and I talk about the connection to Obama. So that's basically, I'm just putting it on the record so that people can get what I think is the sort of the historical version of the UFO thing. I stay away from all the third level conversations about who slept with who, whatever. I just deal with the idea of UFOs and what their involvement with UFOs was.
Well, I'd love to do a conversation again in a month or two, because we are right at this is the beginning, you know, this disclosure is the beginning of a long, long process. We're at that beginning right now. I mean, this is, I don't know if the conversation accomplish anything except get the information out there. I mean, I think we covered a lot of ground in that way. I think it did accomplish an awakening for people who've never heard this subject, and people who even have. We filled in a lot of those gaps, and I think it's going to unfold in some very interesting, unpredictable ways. And maybe Podesta has all the cards in his hand and he's laying them out one at a time, which it might seem that way. So
I'm very glad to get the chance to do this with you, Alan, and with you, Grant. I always learn so much when I talk with both of you. It's been good.
Yeah, no, I think we did accomplish something. I think we really did. And I think it's we need an intelligent analysis. And that's why I asked you guys, really, you know, you put 20, 25, 30 years into, you know, this is not woo-woo from you guys. You look at the documents, each of you have looked at thousands of documents, and that's what makes an intelligent commentary about what went on and where we're going to important and significant. So thank you both.
Great. Thank you.
Where are you going to be appearing next, Grant? Where are you going to be?
I'm doing the Brantford, Ontario. I think Richard's going to be there as well. I'm doing that one. And I'm not doing too many anymore. I'm doing Calgary later in the year, and then I'm going to do my music and one at Laughlin, Nevada. Paula Harris talked me into it because she's doing a music thing. And as you know, I do the alien connection to music. So I'm going to do a lecture on music and aliens.
Yeah, we didn't get into the download as much, but I mean the Moody Blues a little bit, but there's so much evidence that they have ETs, whoever they are, has influenced our music and our art and our lots of things. So
bizarre story.
Yeah.
Very bizarre story.
Yeah, it's great. And they, you're right. Someone said, in a way, it's not up to the politicians about this whole thing. It's up to the ETs, and maybe they're slowly coming and going and planting seeds. So in a generation, oh, look, there's a UFO, no big deal, right? So I think it will come to that. Richard, where are you going to be? I mean, I'm going to see you at Contact in the Desert, I know.
I'll be with you at Contact in the Desert. I'll see Grant in Brantford. Tomorrow, I'm driving with our friend Peter Robbins to Pine Bush, New York.
Oh.
And there's a little festival they have there on Saturday. And then that night, I'm driving to New York City. I'm doing the Left Forum. I'm giving a lecture on false flags there, actually not a UFO thing. This is a very significant thing in New York City. It's kind of neat that they invited me to speak on that subject there. So that's this week, and then I got Brantford in a couple of weeks with Grant, and then Contact in the Desert in June, and it just keeps going.
I think I'd have to say, people listening, Grant has been to Contact, and hopefully he'll be back, but Contact is really like the Woodstock of all this stuff, the UFO disclosure, the abduction. I mean, there's a community, I think there'll be about 4,000 people there this year, talking about this stuff, not afraid to come out about this. And that creates a different way of thinking. It really, there's some shift in the people there.
I mean, yes, people have been commenting in the chat room all along about Tom DeLonge.
Oh, yeah, you want to comment? Because Stephen Bassett doesn't trust him at all. I wonder what you think of Tom DeLonge.
I met Tom a couple of years ago on the West Coast, and I loved him. I thought he was a fantastic guy. We got along really well. You know, his more recent statements, I don't know. I mean, I get the impression that he believes that there's a kind of like a really good white hat group of insiders that are trying their best to kind of protect and guard this secret on behalf of the rest of us. That's the impression that I get. I sense a lot of trust in the establishment political system, and I'm not sure that I share that trust.
But Stephen Bassett says he's been set up, he's been lied to, he's been manipulated. As I just heard him the other week say that. I mean, what do you think of Tom DeLonge? I mean, it was an incredible coast-to-coast interview he did where he really said he talked to generals, and they said, yep, there's something going on. What do you think, Ryan?
I don't know if I wrote about it, but I had a long conversation with Steve about this. He's being set up. He falls into the same pattern as Bill Moore and Stephen Greer, who both believed that they were the only person who knew what was going on. So Tom DeLonge has got this idea that he's there and he's got this method of getting the information out to the young people, whatever. So he makes these contacts. And the big problem is always, suddenly he gets all these people. It's top secret, special access, WAVE program. Even the program itself is unacknowledged. And suddenly he's got all these people who are just like Bill Moore, just like Stephen Greer, who are all talking to him. And to me, it's like you don't have a security clearance. And if these high-level people are talking to you, they're feeding you material. Now, some of it's true, some of it's not true, but he's being manipulated. The only important thing about the whole thing is John Podesta is part of the thing. He contacted John Podesta. John Podesta got back to him after a couple of months. So that gives me some encouragement that it's not, you know, the evil, as evil as it could be. But there's no way he's being told classified material. All these people are going to jail. It doesn't work that way. So it's the same as Bill Moore, that he believes that these people are all his friends. They're all telling him the truth. And basically, they're putting out a message. They're using his enthusiasm, his power, to get out a message. And the message is always going to be covered with disinformation. That's how they do it.
Wow.
I'm speaking for the people in the chat room again.
Yeah.
Someone else wants us to give our opinion or our true opinion on Corey Good.
All right.
Yes, yeah. As many times, Alan, you.
I don't have I tend not to believe Corey Good. I mean, I tend have a hard time with some of the stuff our friend David Wilcox is putting out there. I mean, he says some great things, but the Corey Good thing to me is a little suspicious. What do you think, Richard?
No, I agree with you, Alan. Talk is cheap. As my daddy, New York City cop, always said, money talks, bullshit walks.
So it's very easy. It's very misinformation by Corey Good or
I think if I were in charge of disinformation about UFOs, some of those people who have promoted Corey Good would be the first people that I would go to, honestly, to get my narrative out, because they're willing to take a story from basically everyone. This is my opinion on it anyway. I don't think they're doing us any favors. The Corey Good story can't be confirmed in any way. It's also very difficult for me to believe. It's just a very difficult story to believe. It's like going back to the Mars jump room scenario.
Yeah, I don't believe the Mars jump room either. I don't buy that.
You know, going back to Gettysburg and all of that stuff.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's someone else. That's not Corey Good. But the whole idea of the blue avians. And then before that, we had Captain K, who was fighting reptilians on Mars for 17 years. And it just goes on and on and on. These stories keep coming. And my feeling is this. If I were trying to hide, a genuine secret space program, which I personally believe exists. I think there is a secret space program, and I do believe it does have radical technology. Then one way that I would want to hide it is by putting out really patently false and absurd stories out there that deal with such a program, A, to discredit the idea in the public mind, and also to throw genuine researchers into the wrong direction.
Right. So it's so ridiculous, and people are buying it. It just makes everything look off. It just,
yeah, and it's impossible to confirm. It's impossible to prove or disprove. It's just another guy talking.
Right. What do you think about Corey Good, Grant?
I was at the Consciousness Expo, and we couldn't get in. I didn't get to see the lecture because he's preaching the fear thing.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get a ticket. There's 100 people outside the room who had paid for to get in, who couldn't even get into the room. So I didn't see it. But to me, it's still the whole idea that, you know, it's fear, it sells, it's popular, and I always have the problem. If this is true, why are you being allowed to talk about this? To me, it's always controlled, that people have got to realize that there's as much money spent on a program for security as there is for the program. And the security is to put this kind of stuff out to manipulate the story, to cover the story. And you really can't believe 90% of that stuff is out there.
I agree with you both. I mean, let's make these UFO people look a little ridiculous. Let's say they're jumping to Mars through a secret room where no one can tell anybody where that is. And then people, you know, people believe the research you guys are doing, and then this kind of crosses that border, so they tend to believe that stuff too. You know, you throw in a lot of lies with a little truth, and people will believe it all. So, yeah. I have a hard time with that's why I like the research.
There's so much of this that can be true. There are all kinds of claims that can be true. Mm-hmm. It's possible. I don't know where Corey Good really came from. No one's done any background investigation on him personally, to my knowledge. No one knows who his family is. No one knows what his school was. I would like to know. I'd like to know where this guy's coming from. There's ways of investigating. I don't think it's been done. But the fact is, maybe he has said something that's true. Maybe he hasn't. But the thing is, like, we are in a field that is so difficult to begin with. It just seems to me that it's incumbent on us to be very, very certain of what we know is true, as opposed to what, you know, we claim to be true. I can't really deal with these people who make these claims that I have no ability to verify one way or the other. I don't want to take people on trust.
Right.
It's not a fair thing to do.
I mean, the other thing is, maybe he's saying such far out things that are outside our paradigm that we can't relate to them. I mean, we know about alien abductions, but there's a lot of people, they may believe in UFOs, but you say, guess what? People have been taken in the night, and genetic experiments have been done on them. That's a whole other level of awakening that those people, and most people would say, that's ridiculous. Maybe there's, but we know, I know for sure those things exist. So it's incremental levels, depending on the state of consciousness you're in, I think is what's happening. But I'm not saying that Corey Good is legitimate either, you know? So I'm thinking there's levels of awakening that all of us are going through as individuals and collective as a society. And it's a very exciting time, like I said in the beginning, because everything is changing. Bashar was right. Hillary is right. All these people, we are in a new fish tank. It's a new ball game. So anyway.
And a surprising change. I'm shocked that this has happened. I think Richard's is the same, that I never would have expected this to happen. Never.
Well, not this soon, no.
Well, we're going to pick up this conversation at Contact in the Desert. People should come out there, see me and Richard, and get some old videos of Grant. They were going to sell those from last year. Your lectures were amazing, Grant, last year. That's contactinthedesert.com. You still get tickets online. It's June 3rd to the 6th. And also, you could go to my website, newrealities.com. I have a review I did of Supernatural, where I go through all the key points that Whitley Strieber and Jeffrey Kripal put together to... And the subtitle of that book is A New Vision of the Unexplained. So there's a whole book review there on newrealities.com. And your websites, Grant, are what?
PresidentialUFO.com.
And you've been tracking presidents. You've been tracking everyone, every president since, Roosevelt? Or
Well, it all started with Roosevelt, but I've been doing it for 30 years now. I suddenly realized, like, wow, it's been a long time.
Right.
So, but all the presidents from Roosevelt on.
And I didn't realize that you actually had a sighting that started all this off. But, I mean, we can...
Yeah, and that's where I got into the sighting thing, that I would tell my story of my sightings, and then people would say, well, you know, well, what else is new? Is what's on TV? And it's like people didn't care. They just want to hear a nice story. And I suddenly realized the sighting thing was like a total waste of time. I mean, you can tell, I can tell, I had some pretty bizarre sightings in 1975 at the end of the Vietnam War, north of the only operational anti-ballistic missile unit ever went operational in the United States. We were on the other side of the border, get inundated with UFOs. But nobody really cared. They just liked to hear my weird stories of what I saw. And after a while, I decided I'm going to stop telling the stories. This is a total waste of time.
So then you got into looking at presidents.
I wanted to find out what I had seen. I figured somebody had to know what I had seen. And that's when I went after the Canadian government. Then I went after this Dr. Eric Walker at Penn State University. And Walker was going to get his stuff to the Truman Library. Went to the Truman Library and I went, oh, maybe this guy knows what's going on. The most powerful man in the world. This is the most important subject. What is the most powerful man? So I asked the Truman people, the archivist, what have you got on UFOs? And they had like 10 pages or whatever. And I went, something's wrong. And I went down the road to the Eisenhower Library, and out of 28 million pages of material, they had five documents. And I said, this is something wrong here. And that's when I got interested. I figured the president has got to know what's going on. He has to have the answer. And that's why I went on this search trying to find somebody who had the answer to what I had seen. That was all I was interested. And I sort of think when I got the consciousness download that I got that answer. I think I know what's going on. Based upon what I saw and what I think is going on, I've got an answer to my question from
19. What do you think is going on then? Come
well,
on.
I think it's this consciousness thing. I think you have to look at the free survey type stuff. And you know, 35% of all experiences have near-death experiences. 69% have psychic experiences. And it all comes down to consciousness. There is no time. There is no space. There is no physical world. If you go to the my download, the one part of the download that I got, was this conversation between Jan Hartson, the international director from MUFON, and Ben Rich. And Jan Hartson has this experience at 9 years old in the backyard where he and his brother are missing an hour and a half time. This thing's like 30 feet away. He becomes obsessed like you and I and Richard on UFOs. He becomes an electrical engineer. He wants to know how UFOs are propelled. Him and his brother are trying to build flying saucer propulsion units and stuff like that. And so he gets to talk to Ben Rich, the guy who runs Lockheed Skunk Works. Ben Rich says, we've now got technology to take ET home. Everybody laughs. People ask him questions. As he's walking out of the door, Jan Hartson realizes this is his chance in life. He runs after Ben Rich. He said, Ben, I need to know, how does it work? How do they get here? How does the propulsion system work? And Ben says, let me ask you a question. What do you know about ESP? And Jan Hartson says, it means, don't know, everything in time and space is connected. And Ben said, that's how it works. And that connected in the part of the download to the Canadian government, September of 1950, when they ask the Americans through official sources, through the Canadian embassy in Washington, D.C., what's the deal with flying saucers? They're told five things. And the fifth thing they were told is, we were also told by American officials that other things might be associated with the flying saucers, such as mental phenomena. And so that's what it's about. It's about consciousness. Everything is consciousness. There is no physical world. That's when Bashar says, when you think you're awake, you're dreaming. And when you think you've gone to sleep, you're actually waking up. It's this template reality. And that's what consciousness is so important, is when you start to understand how the world actually works in terms of the fact that when you break everything down, it's quantum wave potentials, there is no physical world, then you start understanding what this is really all about. And that's the inspiration I got, was we've got the whole world completely wrong as to what's actually going on. We make a lot of false assumptions about what reality is all about.
Right. No, I appreciate it. I think that is absolutely true. And I think that's what our evolution as humanity is all about, this awakening to consciousness. What were you saying, Richard?
I wanted to commend Grant on that. I love that whole discourse of his just now.
Well, thank you both. Richard, what do you have as far as books? Are you have a new book coming out?
My website, you can just see anything I'm working on at richardolanpress.com. I'm working on a book that's not UFO related at the moment. It's a history of false flag operations. So it's a little bit of a different track, but I'm working on it and it's fascinating stuff. I'll be back. I'm not leaving UFO research. I'm just doing this book right now.
And I also want to acknowledge all the people in the chat room. Very intelligent, great questions, great commentary. I didn't get to some of the questions, but I do want to do this again. And this will be posted on my YouTube channel on New Realities. If you go to YouTube/New Realities, maybe in the next day or so. So I think this is a great discussion about what's unfolding, and this is history in the making. And I know we're going to be surprised in the next, I'm sure, because we've already been surprised, the next weeks or months, this story is going to keep unfolding, and it's red hot, and it's going to explode. I mean, it's just going to mushroom into something that seems to, we've been waiting a long time for. So I'm very happy to be in this discussion with you guys. Thank you both.
Especially when they ask Trump, then it goes viral.
I thought there was a comment that Trump wasn't his thing, you know?
Stop them from asking him, right?
Well, I haven't heard that Trump has responded. Damon Steer didn't ask him because he was flying around in his 757 jet. He didn't need a bus. He didn't need to talk to people. So he didn't do the normal New Hampshire running around from town to town. So he was the only one that wasn't asked about UFOs.
Wow. All right. Well, thanks again, Guy. I really appreciate your time and your insights and your enthusiasm. And yeah, I mean, I can't stop thinking about this. Maybe it goes back to the sighting I had in New Mexico. I had a sighting. Looked like a finger was pointing up in the sky in the shape of a cloud. And suddenly there was this burst of light, and I was with some other people, and everyone said, look. And there was one guy who wouldn't look. Slowly he turns around, he looks, and then thing just disappears. And it's like they were waiting for this guy to turn around and acknowledge that. And
down the rabbit hole you went.
Yeah. Well, I had other experiences growing up. I won't get into that now. But yeah, it's well, I've been down that rabbit hole for a long time. So I'm obsessed in a way too. It's like, how come everyone isn't so excited about this? This is the most amazing thing happening on planet Earth to human beings.
And that may be one thing about sightings. I always say, if you've seen a sighting, you're part of it. Why do UFOs have lights on it? So you can see it. They want you to see it. It's like you're being triggered. And that's where you get this manipulation thing, that it may be true that they're actually, we're like puppets, and they're manipulating us to do our little thing. We've agreed to come and do these things. And so there's really no accidents. And I have the same thing as you, is why am I so obsessed and nobody else is obsessed? It really affects you when you have these sightings. It's sort of, I always tell people, I fell off the edge of the earth. All the rest of the people that were there just went on with their life, and I just like lost it.
Maybe Podesta's a puppet. I mean, I know Richard was looking at, like, you have that great story, Richard, how you just started to look, oh, maybe there's something to it. And here we are 20 years later, right?
That's right. Yeah. It was 22 years ago. I really stumbled into the UFO field. Really, I saw Timothy Good's book about Top Secret, subtitled The Worldwide UFO Cover-Up. I thought, wow, that's interesting. And I happened to be very familiar with a lot of the historical figures that he had written about and a lot of the departments he had written about through totally different standard academic study. He's got them in a different context, and that was what triggered me. And I didn't even go in thinking I was going to solve any answers. I just wanted to resolve for myself what I thought about the UFO subject. I thought I would take 2 or 3 months out of my life, and that was 22 years ago. Someone just put up a link on Trump on Twitter, and this is Maureen Dowd tweet. She writes, Trump on Hillary's desire to open up government UFO files. Quote, they are talking about outer space, I assume. I'm not a big fan.
Oh, cool.
That's Trump. Cool.
That's Trump. So I don't think Trump's
going to take it. I'm not a big fan.
I do think Hillary's our only hope. Unfortunately, she's, you know, politically, you know, not such a progressive person, but I think she is the ticket to this opening, and maybe Podesta is being controlled by the ETs and being pushed forward. Anyway.
Well, that's another conversation we'll have to
bring. Yeah, we'll get into that next time, but thank you. I mean, we could go on for hours, really, but I think our host, our switcher, probably, I think we're just about finished here. So
okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Grant Cameron, Richard Dolan, amazing. Lifetime of research. And this is the beginning, guys. We are just getting into it. And I hope Chris Matthews calls you next time.
Okay.
Okay, I'm Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. This has been a really amazing webinar for me, an understanding of the movement in history. We are at a historical crossroads, and you've heard it here, and how the future unfolds, well, is anybody's guess, but stay tuned. Thanks for watching and listening.